Blog Talk Radio.
Mama Africa, Celestia, I know. Importation is a must. Original Luciano, Mr. Peckos, the guy, them people from Milan and Caracom, come and see it's called Caribbean and take them to all right. Every time them say parties is a must, yeah, Papa. Sing up!
Black man arise and trim your lamps. Can't you see the time is at hand? For so long they got us down. We've made up our mind, we're going home.
Hear what a man
say. I say, 7 miles of Black Star Liner coming in the harbor. And anyone wants to go back to Africa, just come on over.
Come on
over. Whoa, yeah.
Everyone fi go home, forward Africa. I feel to ride up on the Black Star Line. And me tell them, home, forward Africa. I feel to ride up on the Black Star Line. Caribbean, yes, I wear them carry I and I. Far from Africa, 1,000 or more miles. Never get to take a dip in a the river Nile. Said them, come in a peace where they were so hostile. Took us from Milan, now we slave on them style. We party Asian and that we have free profile. Don't press on to be sweet, now go take it with a smile. If I hope them did a press, they would have stand by them. Off we go home, forward Africa. Off we to ride up on the Black Star Line. And me tell them, home, forward Africa. Off we to ride up on the Black Star Line.
I say every man should have the right to live his own life without a
fight. Where the black man belong. We don't want to see him being popular. No, no way.
I say 7 miles of Black Star Liner
coming in the harbor.
Oh, yes.
What a man say.
And anyone wants to go back to Africa,
tell them to sing out.
Come on over. Wow, yeah.
And I say, open the gate. Time for a party, hey. Back to Africa, I mean, say no time for waste. Fire burn down Babylon, terror and flame. At a fire burn and nothing I get tame. We are going burn down Rome and then Vatican waves. Pope and all, after fire blaze, off we go home, forward Africa. Africa ride up on the Black Star Line. And me tell them, home, forward Africa. Africa ride up on the Black Star Line. And Luciana,
7 miles of Black Star Line.
And I say,
coming in the harbor.
What a man say?
Oh, 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 yeah, love. And anyone wants to go back to Africa,
me black brother and sister,
just come on over. Come on over,
come
on over. They took us away from our father's land.
It's from your soul.
Carried us here to Babylon.
Yeah, man.
Ashes to ashes and dust to dust.
Freedom,
black man's redemption is a must.
Massive and good.
Is a must, yeah.
Everyone fi go home, forward Africa. I feel to ride up on the Black Star Line. I'm gonna tell them, home, forward Africa.
Okay, that's a little bit more peaceful. Greetings and welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here at Blog Talk Radio. And, sister, you there?
I'm here.
You sure?
I'm sure. Nah, I'm good. I'm here. You
heard
all right?
Good. I heard the noise back there. I just, you know. So I wanted to talk about healing, and I think there are a lot of things we need to, a lot of areas we need to go ahead and work on or heal in. So I deem the show as part one, and I want to deal with relationships. That's a hard one, you think, sister?
That's That's a hard one. Oof. That's tough, but it's an important one.
Uh-oh. You scare me when you say stuff like that.
Why? Why does this scare you?
That's always the hard ones. Okay, so what's so hard about it?
It's hard because you are talking about two people who have different ways they handle things, have two different perceptions of the way things happen, have two different, you know, backgrounds and upbringings and, you know, two different views of life. So that right there, that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
I look at my background, that's a lot to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
Conflicts. Oh, yeah. Can be a lot of conflicts there.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? A lot of times it's not even about anything. You know, not anything really major. It's just, you know, like I said, people's perceptions are very different sometimes.
Hey, what is your perception? How do you feel?
You mean as far as what? As like black men and black women or?
Yeah, let's leave the other thing out there later because my stomach starts bubbling.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't start talking about
that. Well, my, huh?
Men, cis, and women, cis.
You said men's what?
I want to hear about men's with women's.
Oh, okay. Men's, okay. My perceptions about what's going on with black men and black women, I think on the men's side, I'll try to talk about that first. Just from my perspective, I feel like black men, they're kind of confused. You know, they don't really know what women want. I feel like they want to please women, but there's so many different, like, signals being sent to black men today. And, you know, like, a lot of people say, oh, if you do this or that for a woman, you're a simp. You know what I mean? Or, you know.
Okay, or the music. So, like, I don't give a damn what nobody say. You don't give a shit what you say, man. But I cook, I clean, shit's my crib. You know, I like to keep my, like live in a clean environment. You know, it's my spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'll do that massage thing and all that other stuff. You know, fellas, you don't like it. You know, you ain't got to deal with it. It's me and my money and how I feel like I do. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. Fuck you. Shit.
Wait. Like that. But, you know, you talking about, but you got to think about the young men, though. They not to your level yet.
I've come across some young cats. We like, man, y'all stupid. Boy, you stupid. I don't know how many times I've called them, boy, you just stupid. Just stupid.
Yeah.
Don't be lonely like that, you dumb fucker.
Yeah. I mean, like a lot of young guys, they feel like, you know, like I said, they're being a simp. They feel like they're being a simp if they do this and that because the music, you know, this is kind of like, you. On one hand, you have people talking about tricking or whatever on women, you know, so spending money, doing this and that. But then on the other hand, it's still in the same vein, disrespecting women and, you know, using them for sex or whatever, using them for a good time. So I think a lot of black men are just very confused. They're confused about what a woman really wants, what's the proper way to treat a woman, you know, and then it, again, it goes back to upbringing. If they didn't really see a male, how a grown man treats, you know, a woman in a positive way or a healthy way, you know, then that too. And then there's some guys who, you know, didn't really experience that, but they did experience that, but they went on the quest themselves to become, you know, a man, to grow and, you know, to find things out. So, yeah, I think overall it's a lot of confusion with men, and I don't blame them.
I don't know how to take that confusion.
Not in a bad way, like, oh, you guys don't know what you're doing, but it's more so because you don't know what we want.
Okay, so what do you want? Damn it,
okay. What do women want? Oh my gosh. We want everything.
What does all mean?
It means everything at all times. Everything we want at that any given time. And that means we want you to be happy when we want you to be happy. We want you to be sad when we want you to be sad. We want you to know when we're tired and we need certain things. We need to know.
Wait a minute, now you can put it all that way after I try to do stuff. But wait a minute, I'm saying that's selfish.
Yeah, it is. It is in the sense of.
That's acceptable. I'm asking you.
You said what?
Is it acceptable?
Yes, it is. It is. If it works, and I'll tell you why, though. It's acceptable to be selfish if that's what works for your relationship, and if you are being as selfish to your partner and they're being the same way. Like, there's got to be a balance, though. Like, one person can't be just selfish. So I think each person in a relationship, you know, sometimes you do need to be selfish. Sometimes it might mean, to me, that means catering to my man a little bit more. At a certain time, he might be going through something. You know what I mean? And at the time, it may be selfish because I may have had to neglect something else I had to do. But those are the sacrifices that you make if there's an issue going on. Or just to make the person feel special sometimes, but that's what I'm saying. There's got to be a balance on both ends. But I think selfish, it can be good sometimes.
It can't keep balance. Okay, I'll give you that one. I let that one go.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna beat that up too much.
Okay.
That's all right. So how selfish are you?
I'm actually, I'm really not selfish enough. I'm selfish. If I had to say I was selfish about something, I can be selfish about my own time, meaning, sometimes I just need me time. Just not, you know, not even doing anything with anybody, just time to read, or cause I like to read, I like to study things, just time to clear my head and focus, like I'm not talking about going out to the club and things like that. So for me, that's probably would be my type of selfishness. It's just give me some little time and space every now and then for me.
That ain't bad. Hold on, I'm making notes.
You're making notes.
All right. Okay, I think I got everything. Yeah, that ain't bad. But it is. I think the selfish, a lot of the selfish part is coming out with a lot of people, and it's like that's another one of those things that's driving a nail in our coffin.
Right.
I think the biggest thing is just not listening to individuals. Everybody wants to be heard.
Yeah.
Big shut up sign coming up, man. Shut up and listen. None of us want to listen. Everybody want to go ahead and be heard. Can't you go ahead and see that? And wait a minute. See, still come back to that selfish thing now, man.
So what are you selfish about?
Me? Not too much. I get along well with that person. And it comes to a point where I'm like, okay, well, I'm not doing that. That's bullshit. Don't bug me.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much. I go here, I'll be like, all right, Right, yeah. I don't have too much. I give Ann a lot. That's what I do. And my mom was always told me, to have a happy house, you got to have a happy spouse.
That's right.
And it means at the same time, I can't be giving in too much. But I think that some of that give that we need in the community, everybody needs to learn how to love each other. There were too many shootings here this past weekend, baby. Did you see that?
Yeah, it seemed like it's been a little quieter.
I don't know about that quieter. It was a whole lot of news cameras and news. It was news crews flying around Chicago, man. I'm like, yesterday was bad. Over the weekend, it was all over the place.
Oh my God.
Like near the hospitals and stuff, there was a lot of shootings on the weekend. How do you heal that stuff? I mean,
Well, I mean,
Hold on, wait a minute. My head's swelling up. How do you get that conversation going amongst these people who want to go ahead and be like that?
Right. I mean, you know, when we talk about like the black community as a whole, and trying to heal, I think the point we're at right now, and it's really kind of disappointing to me, I have to be honest, because I think that it's pretty much two very distinct groups right now. It's either the people who's like, okay, this is some BS right now. We got to do something. I'm sick of this. I'm tired of it. You know, what are we going to do? And then it's the other side who's just like, I don't give a damn. You know, the people, and that could be people of any, you know, social, economic level. The people who may have a certain level of money and they just really don't care about the quote-unquote black community as a whole. And then there's other people who just don't care, and they just say, I'm doing me or whatever, and that's what they want to do, and that's it. So I think because we have that split, and at the same time we still have all of this stuff going on, I think, you know, the way we're really going to really be able to heal, we got to definitely start with the youth. We got to start with the kids. Because that's where the mistake was made with all these other generations, is because nobody was dealing with kids. And if they were, then we have all this. And see, that's the thing, when people deal with kids, and it's all these other things, because you got to deal with pedophiles and crazy folks who ain't really trying to help you. They trying to do this. You know, it's like so many just like complications. So the people who are ready, who want to heal the community, we're pretty much going to have to, like, separate off. We're going to have to break off. We're going to have to start opening our own schools, homeschooling our children, building our own communities with people who are like-minded, who are wanting to make some moves. And we got to pretty much just do it for ourselves, because nobody's going to do it for us. And it's getting to the point now where it's just crucial. Like, it's crucial.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's very bad.
I got somebody's hand up. Let me go ahead and do this. 269-470. Line is open. State your name, where you're calling from, please.
Peace to the family. This is Brother Dawa.
Brother Dawa, how you doing?
Hi.
Doing good, brother. Peace, just how you doing? How you doing,
sir? Good.
Yeah. How you doing, brother? Hey, what would you go ahead and say, brother? You know, because we're talking about healing, and I say, hey, look, we got to start somewhere. So I said, part one, let's heal the relationships. What would you say would be a good thing to start healing relationships?
Well, I think we have to deal with our sisters in molestation. What I've seen in relationships that I've been in, as well as females, relatives, cousins, as well as mothers, aunts, it seems as if I have to go back to slavery because I'm trying to rationalize this thing, and I have to go back to slavery. And I think that in slavery, European men molested everybody, men, boys, women, and girls of our race, as well as their own women and everything.
Don't forget cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs. Yeah, I'm about to say it.
Lambs, sheep, horses, whatever they stick the penis in. You know, he screwed himself in the booty and sucked the shit off the dingling if he could. But, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I bring that up a lot.
Years. You know, but I think that our men back in the day took that energy over into their own household and started raping and molesting their own children. I'm just going to call it like it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that our women are hurting from that, as well as our young females are hurting from that. I was talking to a brother earlier, and he told me that he saw something on the internet where there was a young female, a young sister who was on the bus going off on an elderly lady, sister. And she was saying that when I got molested, didn't nobody help me. Did nobody come to my rescue. She was very angry and hostile with this woman. And our children, our youth, they don't even want to get married. They don't even want to, not even want to hear about no marriage. They want to just play, as they say. They want to just, some of them just decided, they don't even want to mate anymore. They want to be, men want to be women, and women want to be men, and they just want to be same sex. We have really damn near destroyed our youth by, what I would say is, allowing molestation to continue to go on. We should be breaking niggas' backs. Breaking their spine and tearing their teeth out their mouth when they touch our children. But since we have not, we've I think, formed this bubble of hate that our youth have for each other, for us, as well as us having for one another. Because we, our women are hurting because they've been molested. That's just what I see. From what I see, they're hurting, and it's difficult to get through to them. And they're at the point now, a lot of them, they don't even want to be bothered with us, period. And we are the same, the brothers are the same way. So I think if we don't sit down and deal with these molestations, and I think we should go in a room somewhere, a big auditorium or somewhere, and have somebody with a big-ass 4 or 5-inch thick chain link lock the door on the outside so we can't even get out of there. And we need to go in there, and we need to holler, we need to cry, we need to bleed, whatever we need to do to get over this hurt and pain. Let it all come out. Women have to talk about the pain that they suffered from men who were sick. And then the same thing as far as the young boys have to talk about it too. Brothers, from what I see, my uncles and older cats, these cats are screwed up. And I think they screwed up because they got screwed on them damn plantations. And also today, since it's so messed up, the sisters are, a lot of them, some of them are gravitating toward white dudes. That's why I like scandal so much, because they've been screwed by us and done in by us. So they're like, hell, I might as well get a white dude. So I think if we don't sit down and discuss molestation and the pain and hurt for male and females, grown men and grown women who haven't dealt with the problem, we're going to continue to hate each other.
That's probably.
And as well as women. Now, I'm not going to say just men. Women out here in our families have molested little girls, too, and boys.
Oh, yes.
And we tell each one of us, but families have told their children just to be quiet. This ain't nobody's business. That right there is what is eating away at these youth. And even people who are in their 40s and 50s cannot get over what happened to them when they were 5 and 6 because it was not dealt with properly. We let the white man come in, and we don't even call the police on these clowns.
No.
How can a woman lay down with a dude that she knows is molesting her children? How the hell? What the, really?
I can't figure that one out.
We're sick as a race.
We are.
We don't care about the youth, and that's the problem. You need to have babies and some of my generations. You don't care about the children. That's just the way I see it. So I'm going to say my piece. That's my piece on it. We need to deal with molestation on both sides, male molestation and female molestation, period. I'm going to back up and let y'all do y'all thing.
Now, I'm going to leave your line open. That was good.
He brought up a good point. And as a woman, I can say that in my extended family, somebody I know in my family, it came out that the dad had molested the daughter. Okay, this was, he was a stepfather. And that's another problem I'm seeing. That's it too. But he was a stepfather, and he molested the daughter, and there was some sons. They had some sons also, but not the boys. But he molested the girl. Come to find out, he had been married to another woman before, and they got divorced, and this woman had four daughters. But okay. So anyway, this, you know, after years it came on, but came out, but the mother stayed with them. And I couldn't, I mean, it hurt me to my soul to interact, you know, at family situations knowing that. And nobody beat this man, beat the living hell out of this man. She did not leave him. She stayed with him. The daughter went through all types of hell. She tended to be very promiscuous. You know, and just all that type of stuff. You know, I believe she's had a couple abortions and things, you know. And it's just, it's the fact that a lot of this abuse has happened. It's something like one in three, every three girls was sexually, or is sexually abused, and one in every five boys. And, you know, it's sad because in the black community, we don't believe in calling the police. You know, but at the same time, people still, like you said, people still are not handling it, just even in the house, and the uncles come, or what was that, I know why the Cage Verse things, or whatever, somebody handle these dudes, somebody get on them, but nobody's doing that, and because you got all of these, again, with the black family, when you don't, nobody's going to love you like your own, I'm going to just say that. Nobody's going to love you like your own. So when your daddy ain't in the house or your mama ain't in the house, you got stepmama, stepdaddy. Not to say that they can't, you know, love children and take good care of them. So I'm not saying every case. But when you have a step-parent, there's some of these men that get with women because they got teenage daughters or got little daughters they think are cute. And, you know, the mama thinks he's wanting her, but he's looking at her, the mama and the daughter. And this man don't have no love for these girls for real because they ain't my kids. You know, a lot of black men run from responsibility anyway for their own damn kids. So you think they're going to get with a woman and treat her children like his kids? No, they just there, you know. And it's a lot of brokenness and a lot of boys, too. A lot of these boys, little black boys, get molested. Women do it, too. Men do it too. These men supposedly straight. I don't know, even doing my research for this stuff, how many gay black men told me it was supposedly straight black men that was fooling around with them. You know, so it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of keys to this, and because of it, black women are mistrustful of men. They don't trust black men as far as they can throw them. They, a lot of them do feel safer with women because they feel like, okay, well, a woman, you know, she can't hurt me like a man can. A lot of them, you know, they want to make sure they're in control just because the man has been so abusive to them sexually or to her mother, you know. So it's all of that dysfunction. Then on top of that, you add in kids. They having kids. So you just have a pile of mess. We just got a pile of mess going on. We're trying to separate all this and then have functional relationships. You cannot have functional relationships with unhealthy people.
So just like the brother was saying, throw everybody in that big room and have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that really needs to be placed. So how would you go ahead and lure them into that room, you know, if somebody find out that they're going to be locked in there? How do you get them into that room? What would you do to go ahead and get them in that room? Tell them they're going to go ahead and watch the uncut version of Scandal?
Right. You ain't right. But you know what? Say, oh, hey, we're going to have a dating show with white men. Black men, white men who love black women. And you're going to see a stumpy. They're going to show up. Or you say something like, we having a twerking, whatever kind of twerking contest. Or excuse me, or this certain rapper that is looking for models for his new video.
Yeah,
he's gonna get a hell of a lot. Yeah, say all three of them.
That can make you a lot of money.
Yeah. Say all three of them things, and you're going to have a whole lot of sisters to show up.
You get a whole lot of people want to go ahead and show up to that stuff, you know, without question. Oh, yeah. I didn't pay attention to how rotten it's making you look. We don't give a damn about image no more, do
we? Oh, we don't. Nope.
These are all things you need to pay attention to when trying to heal.
Yeah.
The consequences of what you're doing. You know, don't you know your actions and go ahead and mess you up later on, what you're doing today?
So what do you think are the – but what you just said. So what are – you know, when you do something, you do a behavior, you know that it's going to be a consequence for that, you know. So what are the consequences that black men and black women have for bad behavior now? In relationships,
they don't see no consequences. They don't see no punishment. Pretty much, they don't see nothing negative in their actions. Not especially
right.
Not today. And then that attitude gets worse. You know, it's sort of like I'm gonna play a song in a minute. So it's sort of like the behaviors in the community. Like, okay, well, I'm doing this now. I got to make that money. Not thinking about it at all.
Right.
Oh, you know, all good money ain't good money, you know.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
So you got to pay attention to what you're doing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying you got to pay attention to what you're doing. What were you saying?
But what you just said, all money ain't good money, you're so right. And, you know, that's another thing. The black community can be bought and sold so easily. I mean, we have no standards. We have no standards. We have no morals. You know, at least if we're going to get bought out, let it be for something. You know, worth something. We're bought and sold so easily. And, you know, everybody will talk about all of this. Well, I'm getting paid or whatever. You know, and say, for instance, a girl, black woman, she's in a relationship. And, you know, she hears about stripping somewhere or whatever. And, you know, she may have a man. They may have a child or children. And, you know, she would go do it because she claims to get the money. But then again, like you said, not all money is good money. But these women can go and do things like that, and the man may not really come at her about it and say, you don't need to do that, or I don't want you doing that. He might be right there going along with it. You know, there's no real consequences. And even if he does, quote unquote, leave her, he's still going to be back messing around with her because that's going to be baby mama, baby daddy. So, like you said, there's no real consequences. People can do and they won't for whatever reason. You know, you can go sell yourself for a couple of dollars. And at the same time, you know, maintain everything else you have because nobody really cares enough anymore to stand up for anything.
You know, that's sort of like what Claude Anderson said, too. He said something similar. You know, people don't want to go ahead and stand for nothing. You know, that's how people are. It's all, and what I want to add to it is more of, if I see you getting ahead, I'm going to go ahead and try to yank you back. And we've all seen that. And heard that crabs in a barrel syndrome, it just seems like it's even getting worse and worse. I don't mean to sound like it's all gloom and doom, but that's what it is.
Well, you know, I always say, you know, and this is not to get off the topic, but it's still in the same vein, but, you know, that's one of the reasons when you look at our community and you see all these foreigners owning, you know, businesses and things in our community, you know, our money flowing around, is because, you know, we are very jealous and we don't want anybody else to have any more than us. So we'll rather another race get in there and own this beauty supply shop that's making so much money, or this liquor store, this, you know, cell phone store, whatever, you know, check cashing. That's all that's in the hood, you know.
that we will let another race go ahead and own that. Because if it's a black person owning these businesses and they're getting money, they're getting too much money, people are going to be after them to rob them. But they don't rob these other fools like that. They're going to be talking about them. You think you all that. You ain't doing nothing and blah, blah, blah. And that's the same thing. We are that jealous and hateful.
Well, you know what? One of the things when you go ahead and you got these individuals go ahead and tell you, hey, look, you ain't nothing. You got all that old bullshit. You got to flip that conversation around. You got to go ahead and flip that back. You know, when they go ahead and say you ain't doing nothing, I first thing need to come out your mouth is, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing? Okay, you talked about me. What are you doing? You ain't doing nothing, so don't criticize what I'm doing. Don't criticize my approach. Unless you got something else going that's 10 times better helping more people or even helping yourself. Don't say shit about what I'm doing. Mind
right.
your business.
You know,
hey, brother, you there?
Oh, yeah.
Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir, Brother Rob. How you feel, brother?
How you doing? Greetings. How you feeling?
Feeling fine, brother. Feeling fine. Just, you know, taking it one day at a time. As we say, the struggle continues.
Yes, yes, sir. You know, say hello to the sister.
Hello.
What's the sister Queen's name?
Renee.
Renee, how you doing, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great.
And there's another brother on the line.
Catch me up on what's going on, what we talking about.
Basically, we talked a little bit, and, you know, I want you to go ahead and deal with, you know, the healing and what we need. That's one of the things we need is healing. But an area we need to work on is healing the relationship so we can communicate and make this thing stronger. So I want you
right.
to get, you know, hear your piece on that, how you feel.
Man. Well, I wish I could have listened to this whole conversation, man. I don't want to be redundant on anything or repetitive, but oftentimes we have to be repetitive sometimes to get the point across of what needs to be done. You know, brothers, we always talked about time and time again as far as the healing process. I mean, if we're talking about healing, first and foremost, that healing, you know, it's like when they talk about the AA classes, you know, the addict classes, you know, you have to first, what they say, recognize that you got a problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, majority don't even recognize that they have a problem, you know. So, to get to the healing process, we have to recognize that we first have a problem. Accept that we have a problem and then begin to trust that we could begin to relieve that problem. That's one of our main issues that we have with each other is trust. We don't trust the decisions stemming from our own people. It's as if we need others to make a decision for us. We critique that decision and put it into a category as if we made the decision of our own. When actuality is stemming from a oppressive factor. But, you know, healing and solutions, man, we have to start making some solutions to what's going on in these streets because the healing process oftentimes comes with the solutions. It comes with substance, you know, and a lot has been bogged down in our people to the point where you have to deal with different subject matters pertaining to the suffering points of our people in order to even begin the process of healing. You know, I can't, you know, Brother Malcolm talked about when you stick a knife in, if somebody stick a knife in your back, he said, if you pull a knife an inch, that's not healing. If you pull a knife all the way out your back, that's not healing. He said the healing begins when the wound starts to close. That's the healing. You haven't been healed because the knife is taken out your back. That's not the healing process. And so we still got the knife a little bit in our back. We almost there taking it out. But then there's that long overhaul of healing, because that means you got to put the antiseptics in there, the bandage, you know, everything that that's going to take. But see, that means each attribute has its proper place. So I might be a bandage. You know, you might be the neosporin or the antiseptic. You know, everybody has their particular part. But each part is playing on to that wound. And so until we realize that if for every part that we have out here, for every resource that we have out here, until we realize that there's a wound that each of us has to play a part on in recognizing each other on that wound, healing won't begin for our people. You know, we discussed that earlier. You hear a lot of people say, well, everybody just need to play their part, man, and we just support the brother and sister that's playing their part. But if you're not congruent, if you're not congruent in your parts, if you're not building a foundation together with those parts, then the parts that each people play could be dangerous later on down the road, because now you're talking individualism. You're talking individual parts that's operating off their own mechanism, off their own policies, off their own mandates. And so unless them parts come together and recognize what each part can make, but yet have that objective to deal with on synonymous policies, then healing process won't, it'll be a long time coming, brother. We've been healing for decades, healing for years. However, the womb has not closed yet because we're missing something.
What do you think we're missing?
Again, that trust factor. The trust factor is going to lead to consistency. Oftentimes, how many times have we gone into a lecture or an event and we say, man, we need to have consistency as a people. We need to have communications as a people. But, you know, take a relationship. You know, if the sister don't trust the brother, she don't want to have communications with him. If the sister doesn't trust the brother, she don't want no type of consistency with the brother, because obviously his consistency is somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? Or vice versa. Relationship. So that's just like with our people. If our people don't trust each other, why in the hell do they want to communicate with each other? If they don't trust each other, why would they want to build any type of consistency with each other? Trust has to go there first and foremost. If I trust you, Brother Rob, I don't just trust Brother Rob that I trust that we're going to be on that on Brother Rob's show. I trust that Brother Rob is going to make a nice dinner and some nice food for us. I have to trust you as a comrade. I have to trust you as a brother. I have to trust you as an ally. But most importantly, if I can't trust you with my life, why in the hell should I trust you in the first place? Now my trust is limited. Oh, I trust the brother, but I trust him to a limited degree. Because do I honestly trust that brother is going to watch my back? Do I honestly trust that brother is going to watch my life for me? You know, do I honestly trust that Sister Renee can stand up as a soldier and she going to have my back for me, my life? Do she trust me that she could trust Brother Fakan to have her back and have her life? Or do we just trust each other to show up at trust each other to show up at each other's event? Trust each other to attend each other's lectures. We trust each other to put my flyers out for me? Can you put my, you know, the information out that I'll be doing this? I trust you, sister. I trust you, brother, to do that. But in the end, because if we're talking freedom, if we're talking liberation, the key trust is the trust of life. That's why you call the brother. That's why you call the sister. Because every real brother, every true sister does what? Watch their family's back. Like Malcolm said, we use that term revolution too loosely. But I go even further. Sometimes I think we use that term brother and sister too loosely. I think it's just a catchphrase. It's like saying, hi, how you doing? What's up? You know, just like we say peace, peace, God. We use that loosely.
Or am I in?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I agree with what he's saying. It's the trust that we have within each other, and we let other people dictate what we're supposed to feel about each other.
Good everybody. Go ahead and let everybody know who you are.
Oh, my name is Maze.
Okay. How you doing, sister?
All right.
That's all.
So,
okay,
you know,
now what were you saying?
I said, like he said, it's the trust that you have in each other as brothers and sisters. And you have other people to come in to dictate to how you're supposed to talk about each other and do to each other and how you're supposed to treat each other. That's what's wrong with the community.
That's true.
We take other people's understanding of us and use it against us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If we take some of the hate that we have against each other and love because you're doing wrong, explain what they're doing and correct them if they're doing wrong. Don't put them down. Don't go do what the people that talk about you every day do through your community. You're supposed to lift them up. Reach one, teach one. Because when you know better, you do better.
Exactly.
Yes, and you get rid of some of the snitches that you think that your friend. Because everybody is not your friend. And sometimes you take your enemy and you make them your friend because of the dirty deeds they've done to you, but you still hold on to that friendship just because of the way they were. You don't have to be that way.
We are, we definitely have Stockholm.
And if we get rid of some of the things that other people want us to do, we would be, I mean, because we are the money for the rural. Anything that's out there that we participate in and spend our money in, we are taking care of other people. They're not taking care of us. We are taking care of them.
Yep.
That's true. I mean, we had that back, you know, when we was coming, and I say this all the time. When I was coming up, man, I had my biological grandmother, but I had maybe 3-4 grandmothers.
Yes, all on the corner.
20 uncles. You know what I mean? I don't know, 15 aunts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a family in the community. You know, nowadays, if you see a sister and she probably have a son, and yet she don't have the control that she would like to have over her son, and you see a brother come up and try to give her some type of advice, that's my child. You can talk to my child. You ain't his father. This is daddy. This and that. That's odd to me, man, but that's what we see today.
That's not what we see today. If you're afraid, you see that. But if you're not afraid, it's a way you can talk to them and get within a way that where you can become their friend and teach them.
Don't hit it.
I hear
some
you,
it's not
a hard thing for me because I do it all the time.
Yeah, I deal with the public every day, literally.
I do too. I did it the other day with a girl. She had lost her mom and her dad, and I looked at her, and it was like you could tell she was rough. So she was sitting and she was talking to me and she told me how she lost her mother and she started crying. And I said, come on, baby, go on and get it out. But I wouldn't have just went and approached her and just dived on her. I just watched her and we was having a conversation about something. And I told her how I adopt people from the street or people that I don't know. And I make them my children. Only had 2, but I got plenty of them. And that's how I love to deal with young people. The wild ones, the good ones.
You can adopt me.
I adopt people. I got people all over this country, everywhere. But I like to see when they come back to me and they found themselves. I don't want the credit. I just want them to find who they are. But you don't have enough people out here teaching them.
A lot of people complaining
about them.
That's going to happen. Exactly. And that happens every day. That happens every day. But see, that's the percentage. When you can have that one that'll sit back and listen to you, have that one that remember you.
Right.
And when they see you again, you know, they feel as though they've known you for years. Just off of one conversation, you know. But then there's that other percentage. You know, I hear oftentimes, I see a lot of sisters, single parent sisters, and I hear the elders, you know, when you see these sisters who not doing a good job at parenting their child, you'll hear the elders say, well, she like that because her parents had to be like that. But we don't know that. You can't put that on her parents because, see, you got to remember, we are an African community. There has never been a such thing whereas my parents were the only ones who raised me.
No.
The community.
It's like that now.
Because
everybody on my street knew my grandmother, and from this day, they still talk about her.
And your
house. She had something to remember her for.
The community raised you as well.
Yeah,
so if she's doing a bad job, you could probably put something on her parents if they didn't do it. But then again, she so oftentimes may not have had her parents.
Yes.
And but see, that's the thing, though. That's the thing, though, right now. That's the thing, though, right now, is we are in an environment that's all fostering this type of behavior. So you haven't, like what you said, a young girl, she may not know how to raise her child. But mm-hmm. then you look up and down the block and all over the neighborhood and you see the same thing. It's too many of the same things at one
them.
Time
it's just too many people
and not enough on the other end.
No, no, it's not too many of them. It's too less of people looking to reach out to help them.
Right.
But they don't
that's
have anybody to give them
no
direction.
The right.
But they want
to
talk about them. I've taken care of children for people just so they can go to work. Then charge them a dime.
Again, I want you to adopt me, Maze. I want you to adopt me.
I told you I'll adopt people.
Okay, because I'm having problems
that's
getting to work
me.
In the morning.
I love people, and I'm the guy that like to go to people that they think they're so bad that they just can't get, they're no good on earth. I like to deal with those kind of people to show them that
okay.
they can be somebody and make mm-hmm. something of themselves. And that's just me, and that's
now,
what I love to do.
Another issue I see,
I took 10,
you know, with
me and my husband,
thing,
we went
is,
into the rough neighborhood, and we took 10 little boys to a gang. And we was on a train, and they were acting up. And we told them that's not the way you're supposed to act. We had spent time with them. And when we had to leave those boys, they were real sad. But they all grown up now. And guess what? They're doing well. Not even in that neighborhood anymore. They go back to the neighborhood. They reach one and teach one. You know, helping them out like somebody helped them. So that's how we create our neighborhood the way it used to be.
Now, where are you from, sister?
Oh, I'm from Alabama, but I've been around the world.
Right.
And I live in Ohio.
Right. Oh, you live in Ohio currently?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. See, and that's, I don't want to say it's a difference because the problem is everywhere.
The problem is everywhere, but the need is everywhere.
Exactly. Exactly. But see, you know, here in Chicago.
Everybody, a perfect family going to have something wrong with somebody in it.
Oh, yeah.
When it's a lot of them, and it takes the family to correct that, help that one person, that's what's wrong with the community. Everybody don't go to straight and narrow. Some of them go off to the left a little bit, and you have to bring them back around.
Yeah, but see, like I say, that percentage. That's that percentage. Let me give you one advice, sister. One second. I don't mean to cut you, but let me give you one simple scenario. See, what you're saying is good. But that's that percentage that you're talking about. I'm talking mm-hmm. about the other percentage. The other percentage, for example, like the sister, Brother Rob, I think last month, here's a sister who had a little baby. She had a godmother to the child. She
mm-hmm.
had parents to the child. She had all type of loving people for this child who cared for this child. This sister, for whatever reason, did not want her child anymore. She didn't go to the parents. She didn't go to the godmother. She didn't go to any of the loving people who cared for this child, who would watch her child during, you know, times. She left this child in a building, an apartment building, in the hallway, hoping that, you know, of course, somebody would come in the hallway, which somebody did as she was leaving the building. As she was leaving the building, a man and his lady friend was walking inside the building to go in their home. She said somebody left their child in the building. This is her word. Somebody left their child in the building. So when they went to go check out to see what was in the hallway, she left. And that was her child. She left out. So there's plenty of times when you have loving people all around you. But see, we're dealing with a psychological distance at times.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oftentimes, you might have good intention, and some people would accept that good intention. Some people would appreciate that good intention. Other people are so psychologically damaged that they don't trust your intention. And so what do we do when we have people who don't trust your intention because the trust that they did take before end up hurting them? end up putting them in situations where they get raped, where they get beat or abused or prostituted or all types of shame put on them. Now they're psychologically damaged.
Yes, they're messed up.
You see, and so when you talk about healing and solutions, sometimes you have to have not just the good intention, but sometimes you have these sisters and brothers on the street who won't listen to a brother or a sister who have not gone what they've gone through.
Exactly.
You know, for example, you have brothers who've been in the penitentiary, and you have brothers who have not been in the penitentiary.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, sister, you can have the greatest of intentions to some of these brothers that's been in jail. But they'll tell you, brother, you don't know what I've been through. What can you tell me? Man, you ain't nothing. You could tell me, chief. But they won't say that to the other brother who's been in jail for 20, 25 years because he has something similar to share with that brother, and he can share with that brother on how to change his life, unlike the one who's never been through the experience before and just talking according to him and
that
running off
the trust. Yeah.
So this is why I say we need all mechanisms of our people to be trusted, because you might not trust that person, but now you can trust this person. Now you can trust that person. Okay, you don't trust him because you feel like, oh, he just has some letters behind his name, and what the hell does he know just because he got letters behind his name? But there's that sister who's been through what you've been through. She's been through prostitution. She's been through domestic violence. She's been through drugs. She's been through all of these things, and this is where she's came from. And now you can accept her as your own, because she's an example of you. And so these are the different mechanisms of our people and what we're dealing with, because at the end of the day, the most devastating disease, and we was talking about this yesterday, Brother Rob, I asked a question. I said, name one of the most devastating diseases. And people kept mentioning physical things, cancer, AIDS, HIV. But you know what nobody ever mentioned? I said, nobody ever mentioned the disease of thought. Because if you could psychologically damage a person, just that psychological damage would not only break that person mentally, but would break that person health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And physically.
Their offspring and their family,
right,
that they have from there.
Exactly. So this is why, and I don't mean because, you know, Rob, I never, you know, you often, you don't never rarely hear me quote scriptures, but this is why it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, because the thought is the most powerful. It could be the most powerful weapon to use in positiveness, or it could be the most deadliest to use. That's like, like they say with sisters. You know, they say a sister, oh man, you better watch it, because her words is like a two-edged sword. A sister could say something to a brother and eat him up all the way to the point where he's just sick.
Yes.
God damn it.
But you know what? I want to say something real quick, though.
He disturbed,
but,
he disturbed his thought process.
Okay.
Hold on, brother. Let the sister speak real quick. Sister Renee?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that, well, I agree with everything that he said. And it's the trust factor, like you said, and it's that mistrust that we have of black people in general. You know, you can tell another black person something and they won't listen to you, but a white person can come and tell them, and they will listen to them, and they will believe what this person says. And, you know, again, that's just another symptom of all that we've been through, and it continues on. And so when you have those black men who try to come to the young black men and tell them, hey, you don't want to be in prison. You know, you don't want to go through. I've been through that for you. I went so you don't have to go. You know, and they try to break it down. They try to tell them. But they don't trust them because they've never really been in a position to trust anybody anyway. Because we got so much foolishness going on in our community, you can't really trust anybody. You know, how can you know somebody's looking out for you when things happen every day in our community? So we already feel like it's us against the world. You know, whatever we're going through is our own personal struggle. You know, and that's one of the things that keeps us in this cycle because we never deal with our actual problems. We just, you know, this is who I am, this is what I'm dealing with, and you don't know me, and you can't tell me nothing. You know, and I have tried to talk to some young girls, and, you know, some of them are receptive to it, and some of them, you know, latch on to me and are like, you know, they want to know everything, and I help them with, you know, just different female things and just teaching them how to be a young woman. But then you have other young women, and, I mean, the attitude is so awful, and they want to challenge you on everything. It's like you cannot tell me anything, even though you're older than me and you have went through things and you're trying to tell me something positive, you still can't tell me nothing. And that goes back again to that family structure being broken. Like you said, you had a lot of people surrounding you, helping you, guiding you when you were a child. That's not there anymore because, like you said, it can be a mama and a child or whatever, and that's it. And a lot of things, you know, with the crack and all that, that broke down a lot of black two generations of mothers and grandmothers. So then you have those young daughters that did not really have mama there. She didn't show them, you know, when you have a baby, this is what you do. Because she was in her addiction and she was in her situation. So it's like I can never, and that's why I try not to compare us to anybody else because we can't be compared because of the pain that we have went through and we have to deal with it. We've got to deal with this mistrust. We've got to deal with the kids. I mean, that's really the only way we're gonna make a way because so many people are stuck and they're set in their ways now, and it's difficult.
Exactly. So, and that's why you start, Brother Rob, like we say. Well, how do we start? You start with people like the sister Renee, people like the other sister, people like yourself, people like me, because how many times have we been somewhere and we'll say, come on, we have to structure. We have to put some structure together. And you'll hear somebody say, oh, brother, the people not ready for that. Well, we're not talking about the people. We talk about you and I. What's stopping you and I from structuring something? Don't put on the people what you're afraid of. Just say you're not ready for it. Because it bothers me when we see a state of the black union. And you see all these people that are supposed to be the quote-unquote leader chief of black America, but yet they can't even get together. They ain't even structured with each other. They don't meet on an annually basis. They don't even meet monthly. They don't nothing. And so when are we, ones like us on the phone, others who think like-minded like us, when are we going to put something together, obligate ourselves to put something together, check with each other on a weekly basis or on, you know, and keep the ball rolling and build a structural foundation by way of which we'll set the example of how we build a nation as a people? When are we going to do that? The people are not ready, but the people will be ready when those who stand up and take that position for the people get themselves ready.
Mm-hmm. But what I think, it doesn't have to be putting it together. If you're doing what you have in your heart and you know that's right, you're not the only one doing this. A lot of people doing it, but it's just not focused on those group of people. And then you get upset with the ones that's in the know and in the limelight doing stuff. Forget about those people. Do what you got to do. Don't worry about nobody else. You think about the people that you're helping out, and they will grow, and that'll push it on farther to grow with somebody else.
Well, see,
I agree with you, but we're in too deep right now. We're in
what?
Deep.
we're in too deep right now. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and that's
what people think, that we are in deep. It's not deep as people think it is. See, because if you put yourself in the place of the people that you want to get in contact with, you got to act as if you one of them, knowing you're not, but just to get inside the head, to see how they're thinking. If you're going to approach them, it's like, well, I am older than you are, and I am this. It's the way you got to approach people, certain people, because they've been on Ritalin and all these different kind of things, and they've been mistreated. They've been in homes, and they've been all different kind of places. So if you put yourself in their place, and you come and say, let's role play, let me pretend I'm you, and you pretend you're me.
But see, what you're talking, like, for example.
I'm talking about what I do.
We've been talking about building, for example, committees and departments. In other words,
that's what we need to get away from.
If you have teachers that teach, we should be able to put a department of education together by way of which these teachers come together. They build a curriculum for our children, and then we won't have to low low and complain about the public schools. We could begin to have homeschool and build our own schools.
Well,
also,
we are having
outside of the teachers, if you get informational piece, for example, like Brother Rob and the blog radio, Brother Dawa and his television shows, other brothers and sisters who have their television radio shows, then we build a department of information. For example, sister, what you're saying, I would disagree, because it's just like a house, and I always use this scenario. It's like a house. When you're building a house from the ground up, each person that has a specific job know what their job is. The plumber is not coming in there to try to do the work of the guy who puts the mortar down. The electrician is not coming in there to do the work of the guy who does the windows. Everybody has a specific job. That brother comes in, he does his job. The other brother may not be able to do his job at that particular time because he needs that brother or that sister to get their job done so he could come in and get his job done. Next thing you know, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, here's your house. Everybody put their part in. Here is your house. I have a problem when people say we need to just do, you just do your thing and I do my thing, and then at the end we'll meet each other, because that could be dangerous, because when I meet you, I may not agree with you because I don't necessarily know what the hell you're doing.
Right. And then if you meet together, just like the one you do see, they meet together and they still don't know what they're doing. And then the money get involved, and then there's no program for nobody.
When
it's
got to
be more of a plan. It's got to be more of a plan implemented overall.
Plan,
I mean, I understand what you're saying about, you know, and that's more on a one-on-one basis, or on a level of just a few couple people at a time, to be that intimate with somebody, to get on their level and get on their psychology. I mean, but this is about a plan that's going to affect more people at once.
Exactly.
It's going to affect larger communities. You know, like someone said, you know, the school, that's going to affect more than one or two, three kids. It's going to affect hopefully hundreds of kids. So that's what, you know, we that's what I mean when I say we're in deep. We're in deeper than, you know, just having a small
situation. This is what you said, Renee, having a plan. Now, sister, what was it, May?
Yes.
Okay, now, having a plan means what? Just like that house, they had to have what? Before anybody began anything, they had to have what? A blueprint.
Blueprint, right.
Had to have a blueprint. They didn't say, wait, man, you just go in there and do what you're doing. When I see what you're doing, then I come behind you and figure out what I could do after what you did. They don't do that. They have a blueprint. They have a plan, like the sister said, so that everybody knows their job and everybody is in sync. That person who lays that pipe has to lay that pipe in a certain way as not to distract the one who comes in to lay the wiring. Everybody plays a part, but the part that they play is in congruency with the other's part, because the one doing the window can't do the window the way he want to do the window, because it has to be structured according to that blueprint. Everybody that does their part has to be structured according to their blueprint in order for that house to come out the way that you want it.
because of the way that group wanted, it might not be the way the people that they're dealing with want to participate
in
how they're doing.
But that's what I'm saying. If you wanted a house built from the ground up, if you, yourself, Sister May, she wanted a house built from the ground up, this is how your house, you want this house to look. That means everybody who plays a part in putting that house together, they have to put that part together in a way that won't interfere with the other man or the other sister's part. And this is what we have to do as a people. So when you go and you talk to the youth and you get them to change their mind in the direction from the negativity of where they had, now we can send them from Sister May to Sister Renee. And when we send them from Sister May to Sister Renee, Renee is going to give them this. When Renee gets done, she going to send them over to Brother So-and-so. Brother So-and-so is going to give them this. And after he's done, now they can teach others. And we keep the ball going. We keep the chain going because we've now dealt with each other in a way that did not interfere with each other. We all played our parts, but yet we passed it down to the point where we were synonymous with each other and came out successful in what we tried to build.
I think, too, you know, and I did want to say something about the relationships, too, but I think the most, the age that we could have the most impact, because, again, I think it, we have to do with the young people, is from ages 13 to 18. Those 5 years in there, that's crucial. I mean, that's critical time. And that time in there is going to dictate a lot of things for those kids. It's going to dictate a lot of what happens in our next coming generation.
But no,
and most of the time, I'm sorry?
13 is too late.
Well, I say 13 because I don't – okay, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. I don't think 13 is too late. I think 13 is just right because that's when they've gotten, you know, going through that puberty really heavy starts kicking in. Prior to that, they're not really in puberty to that extent to where all the sexual thoughts and the hormones and all the other really, really, really the things that they get more independent at that time. Meaning that they can skip school and they can start doing things. I mean, they can do them younger. We know that they do.
But
I think 13 is a critical time to get into a child's life and to say, okay, now you're getting older. You know, you're getting into your hormones and stuff. Let's redirect some things. This is what we're going to do in some activities. This is what we're going to learn. This is what we're going to focus on. Let's get you ready for college. Let's get you ready for what paths are you trying to take in life?
Now, can I tell you why 13 is too late?
Mm-hmm.
Because the structure that they have going to school, they have sex education classes in the fifth grade. So a kid don't have hormones or thinking about nothing like that. And when they go through those classes, what do you think going to be on their mind? The thing that they got out of their class. See, I visit schools where kids are. It's like I'm like a... the person that comes and protect the one that's going to be mistreated because he's bad. That's what I like to do. And I'm always there for them. And they always send them with me because that's who I ask for. And I take the time out with them, and they miss me when I'm gone, but I always volunteer just to go work with them. So that's what I'm saying. Fifth grade is the place where you start. Because they do a whole lot of things by the time they get to sixth grade, seventh grade, they're smoking and doing whatever else that they can get away with doing.
You know,
so by the time they hit that puberty mark where they're finding themselves, at least they got a little structure to help them and then just be at that wow and not knowing where to go, no help for nobody.
Now, you know, I love the movie Begin, and I don't disagree with neither one of the sisters.
I'm a quiet kind of person where I help out. I don't want no trophies, and I don't want no plaques. I just do it because that's just me. And I watch my neighborhood grow that way, and I watch my people for every state that I've lived in. you can always find people that know me and can call me and find me, that I have spent my time letting them know better so they could do better.
Right.
And there haven't been one state yet that I haven't stopped in. Maybe it's two that I haven't stopped in where I found somebody.
Now, as I was saying, I don't disagree with neither one of the sisters. However, I would say, coming from an African perspective, historically, African people never dealt with grade levels. They always dealt with the mentality of the child, the ability to comprehend, the comprehensive stage. When you look at today's children, and I'm not talking fourth or fifth graders, you have sisters and brothers. I mean, I don't know who has Facebook accounts, but oftentimes you see on these Facebook accounts where they have the little girl, and she's barely two. She's barely 3 years old, shaking her ass on the video, and she knows the whole song. She knows the full dance. She knows all of this because she's able to comprehend the dance, and she's able to repeat the song. She may not be able to comprehend the song, but she can repeat the song word for word. Therefore, her memory is good in the process of, you know, just memorizing. So I would say at the age of comprehension, and that goes with that child.
Right.
Because one of the things we have never done as African people, this schooling, the way that our children are schooled today, this is not our way of schooling. This is their way of schooling. They give us the grades. They say first, second, third, kindergarten. You a fourth grader. You have the level of a fourth grader. What is that? That's mm-hmm. new to us. We've always raised our children on their comprehensive level. You know, there are schools out here that, for example, I always use we have a school here in Chicago. Brother Marcus Klein owns this school called Freedom Home Academy. You got three-year-olds, four-year-olds who know the English like an eighth grader, who can do algebra, who can do, and this is their comprehension level.
Right, right.
Yeah, I have a niche teacher school like that where they're like
When we make a mistake, we make the mistake when we say, and, you know, I agree with you, sisters, but at a certain level, I guess I kind of do disagree, because we have to be able to get our children on the level that they comprehend. When they're able to comprehend, then we grasp them, we get them, because children are like sponges. Even if they can't talk all the way good, children do what? Perfectly. Repeat what you do. Children do that perfectly. They will repeat what you do. If they see mommy and daddy doing such and such, and you wonder why the hell is she grinding on that teddy bear? What's she looking at? You see? Because their memory is so in tune and intact that they become repetitive to what they see. They become repetitive to what they hear. You hear the little two-year-old walking around talking about beast. Fuck. Where did she get it from? She heard it from somewhere. So she's memorizing whatever she heard. She's repeating what she heard. So that's like our education. We have to grab our children in their comprehensive levels. We can't be like the Europeans and start putting grades on our children and start saying that, oh, well, you an adult when you hit 21. That's them. That's right. The European style of education. That's not us. We've never said that. When it comes to raising our children, who gave that to us? They gave that to us. They said we was adults at 18. They said we was adults at 21. They said we didn't know nothing at 10. We just some little children. Hell, when you go back in history to African history, we had kings and queens who was 12 and 13, 14, 15-year-olds running empires.
Right.
So
yeah, I agree with you on that. I did want to also say something
to touch back on the relationship issue before I forget, but you were saying something about black women's mouths, and you were saying that, you know, she can cut you, you know, with what she says.
You know what I wanted to say to that, and what I wanted to say to black men about that is, you know, that's all hype, that's all fluff, that's all it is. And black women, we are, black people in general, we are some of the most sensitive people on this planet. And because black women specifically, we've had to have so much bravado, we've had to be put, since we got to this country, we had to be put in positions to be just like men. You know, when we were slaves, they didn't say, you're women, go have a seat and put your feet up. And when you're pregnant, oh, you want, you know, some sick time off? No, we had to work like men. So we had to, from the very start, from the onset, we had to be willing to, we couldn't be weak. We couldn't. We had to be strong. We had to try to stand up, take care of these kids. We had to try to do what we could do. So that essence carries on through generation of black women. And so today, because the situation is different, the social climate is different in a different way, and that black women, a lot of us have never adjusted. We haven't adjusted to that yet. And that's the sad part about it. And because of that, we still,
Adjusted to what?
We have not adjusted to the change in society. You know, during that time, we were under a certain level of pressure. And, you know, we had to be this way, and we were forced into this position. Now, I mean, yes, we still are in very tough positions in this day and age, but we can begin to try to recapture, or even, if not recapture, but get to identify some of our femininity. We can get to a point now where we can back up a little bit, and we need to learn how to let our black men step back in the picture and let him handle some things sometimes. We've got to learn to sometimes stop talking and listen. Listen to what he has to say. Listen to what plan he may put in place, because there's nothing better for a woman than a man who has a plan. And he knows what he's doing. He knows what's going on. And, you know, we need to give black men that opportunity to do that, because I think it's a lot of black men who are ready to do that, but they're feeling the, you know, pushback from black women.
Well, black women gonna always take care of her man, her son, and her man. She's always gonna stand and protect them, regardless of how they take it or how they see it. She's gonna always have that same, because she always had it, and she's never gonna let go. Because if you mess with a woman's son, you're messing with the wrong thing. But if you mess with her son, that's where her strength and her power will come out.
But that can also be misguided. I mean,
well, it's not misguided. It's done right.
You said what?
I said it's not misguided, because that will never be released to where she's not going to stand up for him. She's going to always.
But no, it can be misguided.
Always.
It can be misguided.
And
if somebody like we talked about earlier, if somebody says to a woman who has a son, and, you know, they see something going on, and the man might step in, hey, son, such. There are black women who will just straight go off about that. So that standing up, like you said, that can be misguided. It can be misguided. It can be misguided.
That's a whole different. If you were talking about somebody that needs guidance and not understanding, she probably doesn't want that man. She's protecting her son within a way of how he approached him. Because she's never, not the black woman, she's never going to, she's always going to protect that man. She's always did it from slavery, and she's doing it today. And then when you hear people saying, let the man take charge, he has charge to a certain extent until he's being mistreated. Once the point where he's being mistreated, she's going to step in every time.
Let me give you a scenario.
And be a bridge.
I'm a kind of camelback. in a different way, but I'm camelbacking off of Sister Renee. I'm going to give you a scenario. Here in Chicago, on the public transportation, there was a little boy, a young man, I should say, and his mother sitting on the first seat of the bus. An elderly woman got on the bus, and the young boy stood up. Now, mind you, it's a two-seat, you know, row on this bus, two-seat row. So the young man stood up so that the elderly lady getting on the bus could have a seat. Now, his mother didn't tell him, son, get up, let the elderly lady sit right here, and, you know, she's an elder, get up. She didn't say that. The boy did it voluntarily. This was in his head to do it because he sees the elderly lady get up, and he's going to do the right thing. This mother told him, no, you sit back down. We paid our fare to sit here. Wow. You sit down. Now, that's the scenario. Now, I'm going to use that scenario to where the protection of that child was detrimental to the values of the community. Because here you have a young man doing what he was supposed to do. And then his mother telling him, don't do that. We paid our fare. She can find somewhere else to sit. Now listen to that.
Yes, because his grandmother probably taught him different than his mother. The reason why he respected the older lady.
Right. But his mother is telling him, never mind that. You sit back down. She finds somewhere else to sit. You see? So he's fighting. If that's the case, let's say if his grandmother did teach him well, she did a very good job. But now,
that's what I'm saying.
His mother.
I guess.
And I'm gonna use what you said. If his grandmother did, now you have mother going against her own mother, and not only showing the disrespect towards her mother, if that be the case, not only is she showing disrespect towards her mother, but she's showing disrespect to the community and the values which should be set in morals in the community. Now she's a detriment to the community. And this is what we face. All people aren't like that, but these are some of the people, and this is why Kwame Ture said, before we can even get to the real fight, we got to fight with our own people.
So see, that's why I was saying. Hold on, let me see if I catch that.
Now I had because I drive for the public transportation here in Chicago, and I come across a lot. I had a sister on my bus with a little boy. She got on my bus with a little boy. This boy is so bad, it's ridiculous. So everybody on the bus, every time they see this little boy get on the bus with his mother, you know, everybody gets to whispering, oh, here come that badass little boy, you know. But she lets him do the things he does. One day I got so fed up, I took my belt off from around my waist and just stuck it out while I was driving, just stuck the belt out in the aisle, and I said, I'm pretty sure nobody on this bus would see anything. Do you think that lady came up with the belt out my hand to tag his behind? No. She said he'll be all right. That's what she said.
Uh-huh.
He'll be all right. She didn't say, you see that belt? You want me to go get that belt? She didn't say that. She could have even said, you want him to come back here and get you? Because I make him come back here. Just to put fear, I make him come do it. Yeah, I ain't got to do it. I let him come do it. She ain't say none of that. She said, he'll be all right.
Well, see, that's again, and then right there, that's a representation of showing him not to respect men, not showing him not to respect an authority figure right there. because then he's going to block that, you know what I'm saying, block you from really saying anything to him. Oh, he's okay. I mean, that's baby in the situation. And then, there you have it. You know, you have young boys like that who grow up, and then they get in relationships with women, and some of them feel the same way. They can do no wrong because they've been babied by mama, or then they want to get with a woman, and they want the woman to be his mother.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just so much dysfunction, you know, and it's so much dysfunction in the whole relationship thing, the whole family thing. And I think what gets me is the number of black people that I've talked to and encountered who feel like, you know, the family issues and things don't affect relationships. They feel like it doesn't have an effect, and you know, like, oh, it's not that bad, or oh, that's not what it is. And it's like, what world are different people living in? I don't know.
No,
I just know what I see, and
that's the way.
Well, I don't know how you all are, but I'm saying what you're talking about. This has always been going on. It's like what took the problem out was when you couldn't discipline your child. That's where that part came in, where you couldn't discipline your child, and you became afraid of your child. Because they could call the cops on you if you did something wrong. What I used to tell my nephews and my nieces, here's the phone. If you're doing something wrong and I pop you, call them on me, and you go with them.
Look,
and I didn't have not a one call nobody.
My grandmother used to say,
I didn't spare no rod, and then I didn't spoil no child.
My grandmother, she sounds similar to that, because my grandmother used to say, I wish one of my children would tell me they don't call the police. She said, because I would beat their ass, and then I'd beat the cop's ass when they come here.
Y'all be bailing grandma out.
See, a lot of people didn't have to go through those things to know how to do it. They were just, you know, just growing up, I guess.
See, now we stay.
Well,
now we live in two different, total different societies now. There's nothing like
that. Because, see, if I was on your bus with the little boy acting like that, I think I would sit down and ask him, I said, now, let me act like you're acting, and how do you feel I'm acting like you? What do I look like? And had him explain it to me. And then you could ask, and then the person was like, so you think I'm acting silly? Or I'm doing something wrong? Or why are you doing what you're doing if I'm acting like you? He thought about it.
You know what that little boy would have told you? Because there was an elder lady who did say, now, you know, you should really sit in that seat before you hurt us, because he gets to climbing on the bars of the bus. You know, you should sit down before you. She was very humble. She sit down before you hurt yourself. No, you don't want your mother to be upset about you hurting yourself. She might have to take you, you know. And she, you know, try not to disrespect your mother. The elderly was really, really humble in the words she was saying.
I've done that a million times, and the mama sits there like they don't see anything. They don't say anything. This girl, the other day, I went to pick up a prescription for my aunt, and she had, I guess, her daughter. And this little girl was like, barely two, probably. And she's just walking around everywhere, you know, and there's people coming through, walking through. It was in the hospital, and just walking through. And she's not even looking at the little girl. She's doing whatever she's doing in her world. The little girl just gonna walk all the way down the hall, you know, and I'm trying to get her and paying attention to the little girl and trying to bring her back. And the mama just, she just looked at me. And I'm like, and the girl was probably like 19 or 20, you know, if that. She might have been like 18. And it's like, what is wrong with y'all? You know,
with schooling. It plays the whole part with schooling, because how much time, and I honestly really think about this, how much time do we honestly get to spend with our children throughout the week? As a poet, and I'm talking with children, with parents who have to go to work,
right.
Who when they come home, they so tired, she just lays in the bed, and children running around. the school is teaching their child. Then when they get out, they homies, you know, their friends is teaching them. Then when they get in the house, the TV is teaching them.
And daddy ain't there.
And right, daddy ain't there, and mama's watching some reality show, house basketball wives. So, really, you know, basketball wives is like being outside. So, again, outside is teaching him all over again. So, now you have all of that playing a factor into his development. And then there's that, not even 1%, there's that point something percent of real advice, of
right,
of counseling, as opposed to the 99.9%, you know.
Well, you know what I wonder? All the things you name, when the mama's in the house and no daddy at home, what happened to the neighbor that took the kids in where they could be teaching them the ABCs or if they week
the
on the
neighbor doing the same thing.
So, right. And they took the time to help them out, and as they grew up and went to college, and the mama didn't even know they had was doing all of this. All she knew is her son was graduating, and she thought she took a part in it.
No, they don't.
They're doing the same thing,
and then the neighbors say,
"Them ain't my kids. I ain't supposed to be raising them."
That's what the problem is. That the neighbor saying, "Those are not my kids. I'm not supposed to be raising them."
The problem is the mama and the no daddy in the home.
But the mama grew up just like the kids are growing up, so she don't know.
That's the phone call that's made. You have children over there by themselves. They don't walk across over there and say, you know, come here, let me show you something. So says, take the time with the children. That's when the phone call happens. That's when DCFS gets involved. That's when the government gets involved, because we don't get involved. But yet,
right,
we don't get involved because, and then it goes, see, it all goes, I always say, all of this was planned to be the way that it is. Because you got to really think, back then, we had time for each other, because you had a time where when the man was in the house, he could work that one job, took care of every goddamn thing. It took care of everything. She really didn't have to do too much of nothing but be in the house, take care of the home, take care of the family, you know, do everything that whatever she was doing in the house. But then, here you go with welfare. Here you go with, if you get welfare, you can't have a man in the house. You get this, he's going to be your daddy. He's going to be your husband. You can't have a husband. You can't have a man. The only male role figure that you're going to have or that your children are going to have is who we see on TV, your governor or your mayor. That's going to be your male figure. Or sports, something to that
then
name.
If you start, or Jesus. But then if you start dating somebody, and if you start dating a man, then you bust the system, because you're like, you can't tell me what to do. You can't do this. You know what I'm saying? I'm an independent black woman. I'm a strong black woman. So, and I've been raising my kids and working and everything. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me nothing.
So it's like we have no family. All of that was designed to put us in a situation that we in today. Now, you might have a few that's doing good, but majority of us don't have that neighbor that we're supposed to have, don't have those uncles that we're supposed to have. And I'm not just talking biological, I'm talking uncles everywhere. Don't have really the true definition of brothers and sisters. We don't have that. So
let's see how many we got in prison.
And sometimes you have to straighten your own family out. I mean, sometimes you have to straighten your own family out, and you don't have to go to the places that you see. You have them in your own family. You have to work on getting them straightened out first, and then go to the next one and help them straighten out. Because like I said, every family is not perfect. With a mom and dad in the house, that don't make them perfect. They could be some of the rough ones that you can see and have to work with. Mama and daddy is there. You
can't even start with your own family.
And then you can start your own family, because some of them, they don't want you touching their kids. But I taught all of my nieces and nephews, I think I got about 60 or more. And I get my respect from them when they're 2 years old. Because if they're sitting in there and they want them to dance and do kind of crazy stuff, I tell them, you're not impressing me, and that's not you. And don't even embarrass my family with it. So they all respect me. And they say I took my grandmother's place, but when it comes to that, no. we don't go there.
I
don't want to see you on YouTube or nothing else doing no dances that shouldn't be.
And you're going to adopt me
when
soon,
a lot
huh,
of
man?
Black women say, well, I think when a lot of black women say a man, they don't need a man to house them. And it don't make a difference.
I didn't say don't need, I
just
come.
No,
I
didn't say you. I'm just saying
okay.
In general. That I think that's a defense mechanism. You know, they want to say that to try to believe that it's true. But it does. The reality is it does make a difference. Because when you just got mama, yeah, you know, mama's tired. You know, she's been at work all day dealing with these folks and whatever she had to do for 8, 10 to 12 hours or whatever. And then you got to come home. The kids have been in school. Like you said, the kids are at school most of the week. Okay, what's going on? Then they have, you know, might have activities or they might need help on homework or whatever's going on. You got to do dinner. You got to make sure stuff is ready for the next day. I mean, like you said, it was designed to be this way. Because when you have all of that pressure and you have one person doing it, you have no one else there to kind of balance it out and give them, take a little off of my back. When you don't have that there, then that's when you can get the kids into more things because they have less supervision, they have less guidance. You know, they have less people that's right there like, what are you doing? What's going on? That's caring for them in their everyday life. And because I'm not one of these people that really believe, and I know people have different situations and life happens, but being a weekend parent or being a summer parent, you know, it's good to be in your child's life, and if that's the situation, then that's all be it. But, you know, that's still an issue when you don't have mama and daddy there every day. You know, and in the black community, we began to, and that's what saddens me too, is we've begun to feel like that's okay. We've accepted it. It's good enough. It's all right. And we no longer try to aim for what's best. We just try to aim for it's okay. It's good enough. Like my mom, you know, I was talking to some single mothers, and I was talking to, and it was a man, though, who said something. And I was saying about how, you know, about the single, like what I was just saying. Well, I was raised by a single mother and blah, 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 you know. But, yeah, but I didn't say that your mother was wrong or anybody else's mother. We take things too personal. When that's why a lot of black people, you try to help them, you try to say something, they can't take it. They get defensive because they take it personal instead of being objective and looking at the reality of it.
Exactly.
But some do take it personal because when you get to talking about the single mother, a single parent, and it's like, so you grew up in the house with a dad and a mom, but look at this one over here. Look how great he's doing, and look where you are. And he, I didn't have a father in the house, as he would say, but you did. And look where you are, and look where I am. I have a family, and I've been with my family, and you don't have one. You don't have 5 wives, and I only had 1 wife, but you had a mother and father in the house. Or your father was a preacher. Or your father was a preacher. So that makes you that's why some of the young people get upset, because you think that I'm not perfect because I didn't have a mother in the house or a father in the house. Just because you had 2 parents, that makes you better than me. That's how some of them think. And that's why he probably attacked you.
That's the problem, because we're taking things, the wrong stuff, personal. And then when we take it personal, we miss the whole point.
That's
exactly
what I'm saying, but that's how they do it, and that's why they get upset.
We have a different comprehension. Everybody's different, including
yes.
The comprehension of things. So what may be sensitive to me may not be sensitive to you. You know, I may comprehend this one way, you may comprehend this
mm-hmm.
another way. The other person may not comprehend it at all.
Or you
so
even asking.
Everybody is different to the
yeah.
tune of their comprehension.
Yeah.
But
or
you
even
have
how they grew up.
Right, when you have that sister who made the wrong choices in the selection of men, and then from her wrong choices, she has 3 or 4 children that she has to raise by herself.
Aww.
Now, in raising them by herself, they barely see mama because mama got to make sure them lights stay on. Mama got to make sure she got a phone to stay in touch with one of the
exactly.
The eldest boy or the eldest girl. Mama got to make sure food is on the table. So they want to see Mama because Mama's working three jobs. She worked at McDonald's at these hours. From there, she go work at Burger King, and from there, she working at Home Depot.
She working at McDonald's and Burger King.
Right. And then who watching the children is the school, the after-school program, and her girlfriend.
Yep.
And then from her girlfriend, she picked them up already asleep, you know what I'm saying, dragged them on the bus, take them home, put them to bed just to get them back up 6-7 hours later to do it all over again. And they barely spend time with Mama because Mama is trying to make sure that they at least have a roof over their head. So now it's detrimental because they don't have daddy and they don't have mama, but the only thing they have in mama is the respect for what mama's doing.
Right.
She's not fully giving them the appreciation I don't want to say appreciation. She's not fully giving them mom.
Right.
When birthdays come around, she might do her thing because, you know, she works so hard, she's able to give them the good party. She's able to give them this. She's able to give them that. They appreciate that. However, it's nothing like the pure time with mom, the pure time that if dad was there, the pure time with dad. And so the time is coming from the school, in school with their friends. The time is coming from outside with their guys. Oh, man, don't worry about that, man. Your mom, man, she ain't going to be home until 11 o'clock tonight. Dude, you straight. Hang out with us.
Mm-hmm.
We got you. We your family. You see?
Well, what about the kids that's hanging out, sneaking out the window with mom and dad in the house, doing the same thing that one that doesn't have a father in the house or a mother in the house?
But the difference is, though, if they get caught up, then they have another person, another parent there that can bring another set of experiences, another mindset, another form of discipline into the picture to get it right on track.
One of my cousins, she used to sneak out the window all the time. My mom and dad was in bed sleeping. Every time you turn around, she was sneaking out the window, going and hanging with her friends, doing bad stuff. Come back home, they didn't know she had left.
That's a teenage thing. That's going to happen to a certain extent.
That's going to happen regardless. But, you know, the difference to how we came up, I'm going to give you a prime example. When I came up, I stayed around on my block they had what was known as the gangster disciples. And so when I grew up, it was like, man, you know, that's all that was around the house. Man, I'm going to be a gangster disciple, you know. But when I came up at that time, you had the gangbangers who would tell the youngsters, no, man, this ain't your thing. You know, you go ahead, you go to school, man. You can make something out of yourself, man. Don't do what we did. You know, don't do what we doing right now, man. You know, we just do what we do, man. We made these decisions. You go ahead, you finish up going to school, man. We'll come get you, man. We're going to play some ball later on. Maybe you can play ball with us.
Right.
We had that. That even so much as even the gangbangers would at least sit back and be like, get your education. Get your man, go on and do your stuff. Today, they don't have that. If the youngster comes stepping to him, he could be 5 years old. That gangster will look at him and be like, man, it's a perfect dude. They ain't going to search him, dog. They ain't going to search him. Man, just let him hold it. Let little Trey hold it, man, because when they come on the block and they start searching us, they ain't going to search little Trey.
No.
See, they figure the ins and outs with the little folks now.
This is the problem, though. This is the problem. Just what you were saying, you said you do public transportation, so I know you know. But nowadays, the difference from when you were talking about then is everybody's so desperate. Now it's straight desperate out here. Don't nobody have an extra nothing for somebody else. You know, it's all... Everybody's scraping and kind of scrounging and trying to get by. And not that black people haven't always been doing that. But now it's so rough on us, and it's a sense of real desperation right now. Because,
exactly.
You know, so much has changed in the economy. So much has changed in, you know, kind of how we're pushed into these different situations. And then we help ourselves into these bad situations even more. It's like so many things within the infrastructure has either failed or is
changed so much.
I guess it depends on
everybody
where you live.
Desperate. It's on an area of desperation. Well, I'm talking about in the inner city communities for.
I'm saying,
but
it depends on where you live, and I mean, I guess it depends on where you live or who you live around.
Sister May. Where you was at again, Sister Renee?
You said what?
Where you at?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. Now, do any of you in your community, we call them bucket boys up here, the boys that be in, like, the street and they playing the buckets like they playing the drums?
Uh-huh.
Do y'all have that?
Sometimes, but probably not to that extent.
We see these little boys everywhere. I mean, you know, they put this as an idea for a way for them to get some money. You know, they can play their behinds off. You know, they get in the middle street, they got buckets with some real drumsticks, and they playing the buckets like they playing drums.
Mm-hmm.
And they not robbing nobody. They ain't stealing from nobody. They trying to really just make some money. You know, and they as the sister said, they're desperate. They can't get a job, so they thinking, man, you know, let's go out here and hustle, man. Let's try to make some money, man, but we're going to entertain the people for a hustle, right?
Yeah.
But people drive past. They don't drop nothing in the bus. They don't do, you know, they just don't say nothing. When they walk up to their windows, they don't even look at them.
Right.
You know, you might have your few people that drop a little couple of coins, you know, give them $1 or 2. You know, but the majority would just drive past or not say nothing, not even look at them. And then imagine what goes on in the head of that youth who sit back and say to himself, man, I'm trying to be honest. I could be out here robbing somebody, shooting somebody, or whatever. I'm trying to really be honest and just make a quick dollar. You know, I'm trying to entertain the people, show them I got skills, you know, but nobody paying me no damn attention. I mean, that's
but it's not really, you know,
desperation where we at, because maybe some people got it and they just don't want to give it, but maybe some people just don't get it.
Yeah, it's both.
So
people are trying to hold on to what they got, you know what I'm saying, and people don't have it. It's either, like, I said that sense of desperation. I understand, you know, it depends on where you live, but at the same time, it's pretty much across the board.
Exactly.
You know, even in suburban areas, you know. I mean, I lived in both, and right now I stay in kind of like a little subdivision in the city, but it's still within the urban area. And so, you know, everything that's going on, it's the same thing. It's a sense of desperation. Mm-hmm. It's just that the location and then the you know, level of education might be different, or these people might be employed and these people might not be, but their desperation is there for everybody, I think.
But when I go visit my son where he lives, they have kids that just finished high school. They're in cybersecurity, making $80,000 a year.
They're in high school.
Cybersecurity. They're doing it. I mean, they're going on the internet, and they're getting their certifications, going to school and getting their certification, and they only have a high school diploma.
Yeah, but you can't tell
it
for one who has a felony.
Excuse me? No one who has a felony is really.
Hold on. You know what? I mean, you mentioned this thing about private security. Where is the private security at the school?
As a cyber security.
Okay.
They're getting their certification. In Texas, they're doing things like that. And in Virginia, they're doing things like that. D.C., they're doing things like that. In different places, they're doing things like that. They just only
and
have
who's hiring the ones to go ahead and get these, you know, making this $80,000?
$80,000, yeah.
Cybersecurity has a shortage. You know, when you hear them saying that there's jobs and nobody's qualified to do it.
You're talking cybersecurity.
Right. Yes, cybersecurity.
Yeah.
And there's jobs and nobody's filling.
I know what you're saying now.
So now they're getting their certification, and that's who's filling the jobs.
Because I think the way you were doing, honestly, well, that's why I came back, because the way you put it was like they go ahead and get their security certificate, and they're going to be security at the school. So
No. Cyber security. And they're doing it. Yes, and that's what they're doing. And they don't even have a college degree.
That's they can make more money, and that depends on what area where they go work for and who they're working for. Usually, a lot of these cats who go ahead and broken the so-called cyber laws, which most of them are only like 15, 20 years old, usually when they catch these guys, sometimes they put them on the U.S. government puts them on their payroll for a little while to monitor them. And some of them are so young and stupid, they put them on the U.S. payroll, give them a government job. Some of them were working at the NSA, like this other cat, right? Well, he knew somebody. Hold on. Let me make this point. The thing is that, you know, these guys, when they go ahead and get these people to get into this monitoring, the security, you know, and dealing with cyber crimes, a lot of times you may think that house next door is full of badass kids and messed up individuals, but you pay attention, they still got stuff. They ain't real struggling. And a lot of times they get people like that to go ahead and monitor what's going on in the neighborhood. Yeah. Are you aware of that, Mace?
Oh, sure, I'm aware of that. But I'm saying, if you get
my thing is like this. It's a whole lot of, you know, that cybersecurity, and we got our own people spying on us, looking at Al Sharpton.
Mr. Chef Rob, my nephew
Let me make this point.
Hold on, Maze.
The thing is that we got, because, you know, I don't got much time now. We got so many ills in the community, we got other people spying on us right away, too.
But I'm saying what he does, he works for the corporate, fixing the computer system for different companies. It had nothing to do with spying on people.
Systems for other companies. But here, you don't know exactly what they do because they got locked rooms. They got rooms where people got their own pass key and all that other thing to get inside. You don't know what they're doing. So he's doing some of that, maybe doing some of the preliminary
work.
And also, I just want to say
He went to school for 4 years to do his. But now you have kids can do it without a high school with a high school diploma.
Yeah, you don't really need none of that because you look at Bill Gates and Jobs and that whole crew. A lot of them, only thing they were doing was playing around in their backyard and with the little electronic crap that they had.
Available for black children across the board.
And then also, if you learn how to do apps, that's a big money, too, that they're making apps. Just like the phone, you have your cell phone, and they make apps for that. They're making big money to do that, too, if they learn the code and how to do it.
They're only going to let so many blacks into that field.
Huh?
They're only going to let so many blacks into that field.
You know, you have to learn the codes to do that. It's not letting them in. They got to learn to do it. If they learn how to do it,
matter. They're only going to, she's right. They're only going to allow so many black folks in to do that. You look at this other brother who had access to a lot of security shit, who in Virginia, and went to the shipyard and shot up a lot of people. Whether he was crazy or not, this was a brother that had done it.
Yeah.
Think about
WikiLeaks.
Maybe he did the same thing, but it's still. They doing drugs. So if they doing it and doing a job to.
Oh, man, hold on. That's a broad statement. You don't know what they. You don't know what they doing.
I'm saying. So I don't know. What's the difference?
You know, you can't go ahead and say because again, you're getting your information from the media, and the media is going to tell you all.
Media. I know this. I didn't get this from no media. What information?
Maze, hold on.
At the end of the day, it's not his creation. He's not doing nothing but helping to further extend another's creation. That's all he's doing. That's not no benefit and value to black people. Technological life in a society today.
Well, this society is going to technical, and your phone you got, and your TV you got, and everything you're going to live by.
And we're
going to
be left out of it. We're already left out of it. Yes, we are.
We are more in the mix of it than you think.
No, we
in what way?
Because what happened, man? Well, what good is all that going to do
if you don't have no electricity anyway? What good is that going to do if they cut the electricity off?
If they're doing the electricity off, you're going solar. Because if you have solar, the sun heats your house, you don't need no electricity. It's going to be from the sun.
The point is, we don't run none of that. We don't run these
we don't run it, but we are into it.
Ma'am, we don't run these truck companies that ship this stuff from country to country, state to state either. We don't run that stuff. They're
in
all modes of transportation. If they want to shut this shit down, they can shut it down. It's just that simple. I don't care who's got a job where.
Yeah, black men run their own trucks. They own their trucks where they run stuff for companies.
Maze, you missed this whole point, and that's what I was trying to lead.
Well, okay,
if these individuals want to go ahead and say, okay, game over, all you Negroes need to come on in here with your head shaved and your ass out and line up and go ahead and make pencils, that's what they're going to do. And we ain't got nothing to go ahead and stop them from doing that.
Yep.
No.
And by the way, we're shutting this internet system down tomorrow. And thanks for getting involved, because now you niggas don't know how to socialize with each other, because you're spending your goddamn time on Facebook and Twitter texting all the goddamn time, that you don't know how to talk to each other no goddamn more.
So when that brother that created that app and made all that money, that one of y'all probably
you want. But he's doing
the point, man.
Very involved. Because we showed
love
cell phone.
Did he give you any money out that check?
What you say?
Did you get any money out of it?
Yes, I invested in it. I love to invest.
Did you get
in the technology?
Because
I know when they sell it,
okay,
that's what I'm going to make the money.
Let's put it like this.
No,
the white man run these banks.
She runs these banks.
Okay.
One at a time. Go ahead, brother Dawai. Hold on.
The European run these banks. That's the end game right here. He run these banks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Russia and these Chinese don't knock off these Rothschilds and Rockefellers and these high-top and these elites, we too. This money goes down, and Negro ain't got nothing but his fingers.
A lot of us working over in China, so what do they got to do with anything?
You're still missing the point there, Maze. Go ahead, brother. That was finished. Maze, hold on for a minute.
Okay.
Man,
I want the point.
I mean, the point is, you got over a billion Chinese in their military. I mean, 100 million Chinese in their military alone. Just in the military alone. These people ain't finna let no black folks come in there and run China. Are you serious?
Black people all over there in China. What are you talking about?
What are they doing? Working for them.
They're not running nothing. They are working. But they're not running anything. They can always work.
It's the difference between working and running.
They're running technology. So if they're running technology and having them to do what they need to do, if they turn it off and they got to go turn it back on,
they're not
running technology.
I'm getting confused. Explain it.
Everything we buy in this country basically say what? Made in China.
Yeah.
Now, how many of us going there got a factory in China set up right now? How many niggas
going there? Oh, let me see. We
want to
know who got a factory set up. Now, let's think about the Nike shoes and we want to go there.
Nobody over there in a plant working for the factory
making some shoes for all these name brand shoes that we see coming over here that they do 50% over there.
Now, what's Nike doing for Negroes? What is Nike doing for Negroes?
I think Michael Jordan probably got a plant over there somewhere.
What is Nike doing for Negroes?
And Nike not doing nothing for me because I don't wear them.
No, I didn't say you. I said,
let's remain family. Just because y'all don't agree with me, let's keep it family-like, okay? That's what we were working on.
We're trying to be a family, but right now, one of our family members is,
it's just like I said. Your pork, your ham that you eat, China gonna own that too. As soon as they purchase it,
you're still gonna cook it because they own it, you're not gonna cook it and make money from it, are you? Hey, brother Rob,
you can't come to family union no more. I asked you a question.
We revoking your past from the family union. You can't come to family union no more. No, not you. No, you can't come no more.
What
you
say? You
can't act right. I said, we're going to ban you from the family union from now on.
See, here you go. You have to ban people from the family union just because you don't you disagree with.
Hold on.
I'm not going to be mad, and I'm not going to be upset since you got to ban me.
I'm joking, sis. Brother Pecan, you still there?
Yeah. Let me say this because I don't want to.
Yeah, the family from the family reunion. Okay, I'm used to it. I'm going to love you anyway, but still.
I just want to make sure before Brother stressed out while banning her from the family reunion. I want at least try to make her just get a burger or two. Let me just put a point in.
She makes the best potato salad, though.
Right. But Dawa said she can't even have no potato salad. But let me just, this is the point I wanted to make with what Brother Dawa was saying. And I want to tie with what Brother Dawa was saying to the whole thing of trust, going back to the trust relationship. Now, too many times we have brothers like Brother Dawa, like myself, like you, Brother Rob, Sister Renee, who, like you said, May, where's the family at? Now, you have your family here.
That's a perfect example.
And your family is trying to give you the truth of the matter.
No, you disagreeing with me, but I'm still with you. I'm not upset and I'm not getting mad.
Every disagreement does not negate the truth of a matter. It's just like me disagreeing. If somebody said five plus one equals eight, and I disagreed, and that person said, well, you're disagreeing with me, and yeah, I'm going to disagree with you because I know what the fact is, and I'm trying to give you the facts.
Are you giving me facts or your opinion?
It sounds like
you're giving me your opinion because you're not giving me
your
facts.
Oh, my God. Really?
That's it.
So you want to throw me out the family. That's what's wrong with the family is what I'm trying to tell you.
No, we got to tell you.
I just told you a perfect example.
Sister May, can I please say this? Sister May.
But I'm going to love y'all anyway. I don't even know yet.
Sister May.
Didn't you tell me to adopt you, Mr. Chef? I adopted you. That's why I'm still sitting here. Having fun with you, but I'm still saying that's what's wrong with the family because you got to have a chief. And everybody can't have an opinion and let it grow.
What we're saying is this, Sister May.
I'm dealing with you like I deal with the people that I meet.
Brother Dawa was making this point, Sister May. And you said, for example, what we're trying to say is black people, we don't own. We don't have anything that we own. Just because we work for a company or we work for a certain corporation don't mean we run it. Don't mean we own it.
We make money for it, though.
Don't mean we are the policy makers of it. You know, at the end of the day, it's just like Barack Obama. He might be the president of the United States,
but he don't run it.
He is the front man. So that's just the front for it, but
why do people get upset about him?
They could put you as the CEO of Nike, but that don't mean you run Nike. You are not.
That don't mean I'm gonna steal nothing from Nike either. To be called a thief, I'm gonna run it. I'm gonna be the front person for it and not steal from it to make sure that I don't go to jail for being there.
Of the capital of Nike. That's all you're doing, and that's what we're trying to tell you. Is it don't matter how many people got jobs or how many apps that a person made, at the end of the day, that job that he got in that corporation, that app that their brother made, because he made an app, he ain't doing nothing but furthering the capital of his oppression.
If he patterned that app belongs to him. Nobody can get it unless he sells it, and he's going to make money from it. The app has to run on a system.
You want your phone app to put music down, you use the app for your music.
An app or whatever you got on yourself, but it has to run through the system. And everybody that wrote with some of those black people came out just as rich as the white people did, because part of it was theirs. He gave them their part. They became millionaires too.
You know what? Okay.
When they came out with the computer system,
you want to ask this question? If I had to put the system in a question of freedom, liberation, or a bigger piece of the pie, I would think that Sister May would say a bigger piece of the pie and not freedom or liberation.
Freedom or liberation. You're free and you're liberated when you have your own business, not when running somebody else's business.
Exactly.
That's freedom and liberation.
Saying.
So who said I work for somebody?
Now you just cut off. Now you done fell out of the rock now, see. So you don't, you broke your hip now.
Freedom and Liberation, I'm still, I'm out of the family, so, you
know,
you
are
like a family
your
member?
Now. You done broke your hip now. You're walking now.
But, see, that's why I say, when I find people that I don't know, this is how I have a conversation with.
Hey,
you talk about all this family
now.
Stuff, then you throw your Freedom and Liberation hip out and all of this, and I'm still with you, but I'm still not as well understanding.
Okay,
but look,
hold on, one at a time.
You want to
know how to get together?
But look, she said it herself. You said, if you run, you ain't getting nothing, right, unless you run a business.
I didn't say
something that. You said
no,
something about running a business, right?
She said running your own business.
Your own business, exactly. And that's the point that we're saying. We're working. We're employees, but not the employer.
Really?
Unless we're forgetting one important thing. We're forgetting
just
who we're
doing. Just make open paper for you. That's it. You can't even get through the paper plate.
Huh?
We're forgetting one simple thing, and that is that no matter how much money a black person or indigenous person has in this world, if the powers want you gone, they will put a bullet in your head that they made. So, again, we're not going to be free and liberated until we deal with this cracker.
Well,
we get rid of this cracker and all these oppressive forces.
Well, America is not like it used to be. America is not owned by one set of people anymore. America is run by the rural.
How come it's not?
So you're going to have to learn to deal with the rural to sell your goods that you have.
You drink out the black only water fountain. Make sure you do that now.
Well, you say I used to drink out of white I used to drink from white only water fountains. Where the black people did not drink there.
What happened?
In front of the white people?
No, it was white only white black water fountain and black white water fountain.
I know, but you drank in front out of the white one in front of white people.
Did I drink out of the white one? Why would I drink out of the white one when it wasn't one for me to drink out? Well, I wasn't going to go to jail.
She just said,
I thought I heard you say that.
She just
said, I drank out of white water fountain, white people water fountain.
But I did find out why it was a black water fountain and a white one. Because the water fountain that was coming out of the one that said white was cold, and the one that came out of the one that said black was warm. And it took me years to find out why they had the different water fountains.
Hey, what's your view? What's your view of
one?
That's not in the history book. It's not in the history book. What you say?
I can't
believe. Brother Rob, you can't find a solution for our people, the ideological process.
Found out what's wrong with the people. See, you just sold me out the family. And then you talking about working with family and putting stuff together, and you just threw me out. How did that sound?
I told you she couldn't even get a paper plate.
There's a problem in the family.
So this ain't got no problem, you want it to be me, but that's not it.
If you're working together, you don't throw nobody out. That's why you can't communicate.
This is the chicken and the coop with no feathers.
Did you get it? And you don't even know me.
The greatest phenomenon of all.
See, some people you could have told you at the family, they would have just lost their mind and just told you everything and said bad words and everything to you. But I'm still sitting here laughing with you.
Oh, you're hilarious.
But I'm not laughing. I'm really going to cry.
Just because I don't agree with you, I'm hilarious.
I got to laugh to keep you crying, brother. I really do.
I'm not even laughing. I'm trying not to cry. That's the whole thing.
It's just like I told Chef Rob. The ham that he cooked, I'm talking to Chef Rob now. The ham that he cooked belonged to China, and he's still cooking that ham and selling it and making money. It's what I see. And I'm quite sure he's doing a great job because his ribs look good, even though I don't eat pork.
Where John Henry with the slayer now?
You have a man on the phone.
I said his ribs look good, even though I don't eat pork.
When you have people think on the level of freedom and liberation, when you have people that think like Marcus Garvey, when you have people that think like Malcolm X, when you have people that think like Khalid Muhammad, to have a conversation with people who think like Malcolm, Khalid, Marcus Garvey, Huey, and to have them have a conversation with somebody who think like Oprah, you're not going to have a healing process.
No, can I tell you? No, people ran for Marcus Garvey. That's why you're in the shape you're in today. They didn't want to follow Marcus. They didn't follow him because if they did, you wouldn't be in the shape that we're in today if you would have followed Marcus Garvey and all those people. Turned your back on them.
Hold on, man. Yeah, what that brother
said. It was too late when you found out that you should have been far away. And now you're complaining.
Hold on, relax.
I'm breathing.
Okay, what that brother was just saying about going ahead.
I'm going to have to do some yoga after this.
The conversation going to be different. Okay, you can't go ahead and have, you know, have this level of conversation that them brothers that he just named, Malcolm Huey and a few others and Dr. Clark, you can't have that conversation with Oprah's, with the people who support Oprah's, and go ahead and think we're going to have a positive outcome. That's a good point.
If you got to hate Oprah and all of the people that do Oprah,
you ain't going to get nowhere.
You're still throwing them out of the family.
Maze, let me ask you a question. Which time have you seen Oprah with all her millions, hitting the billions? Which time you go ahead and seen her say, hey, look, I'm going to go into the black community, and this street we know that people are dying on, and they're not getting what they need health-wise and not getting jobs. Which one of these streets you seen Oprah go ahead and take under her wing? She don't even go back to where she...
The one when they had the thing in Louisiana where she went down there and built those houses for in Calipari.
But she ain't from Louisiana. She's from Tennessee.
She's from where?
She's from Tennessee.
She's from Mississippi. Right next door.
Or whatever.
That's where she's
either
from.
One. But what
she's
she
next
knows?
Door. That's what. That's when she went and did it.
Well, she went down to Louisiana. Whether she's from Mississippi, Tennessee, she didn't go back to where she came from. You understand my point?
What do you mean she didn't go back where she came from?
She didn't go back to where she came from, took that whole street and made it one of the best streets in America. Now, did she do that?
She went to Chicago and spent her money and bought a house there when she should have stayed in Mississippi.
Hold on. Just because she spent the money didn't help me out. And me and the brother, we live here, and it didn't help nobody who's doing worse than us.
Somebody was working.
I'm not getting your point. You go ahead and talk in circles.
She employed somebody. She
didn't employ enough black folks.
Sister Renee.
So she employed one black person, and that's good enough?
What?
Miss Mason, she employed one black person, that's good enough?
That's good enough, because some wouldn't have employed, because Clarence Simon probably didn't employ nobody.
So she can employ one black person and have all of the whites. Okay.
My family's trying to jump on me because I don't agree with them.
I'm giving you an answer to my question.
I mean, most people don't like because I don't think the same way they do. I don't know why they just get all whacked out.
They get all whacked out, Maze. I know you didn't say that.
Now, see, Shelby, Rob, we haven't been into it, but we might have a disagreement. But I still love him anyway. He wanted me to adopt him. Now he going to jump on me.
This is interesting. I was saying, this is the state of black relationship. This is the reason why I use this is so twisted.
Yes.
Because we actually have to sit here and go round and round. Hold on. We got to sit here and go round and round with facts versus whatever the hell else. And that's the problem in all of our households that we have. It's the fact that we're not dealing with the issues of our children. That's one reason why they hate our guts. They're shooting us down. Our youth are killing us. They're blowing our brains out. They're shooting their mamas left and right. They're trying to kill their daddies, too. I mean, they're raping their little nephews, and they're raping their little brothers and sisters. They just despise adults and what adults have done, which is really nothing but sit up here and argue facts versus goddamn opinions. And we just keep on going the same damn thing.
Facts and opinions, right
and wrong. That's what we keep arguing. Yes, facts versus opinions.
But what I want you to do is go look at the movie Blood Diamond.
I said we as a whole. I'm not talking about you.
No. I said what
we
I
as
want.
A whole.
Have you ever watched the movie Blood Diamonds?
We as a whole.
Yeah,
right now,
we as a whole.
The movies. I'm talking about the live.
I'm saying about this is real. It is not. It wasn't fake. It's real. It's real.
Not all of
it. If you watch it. You watch Blood Diamond, and you will see what's wrong with the children that we see today.
Hold on.
You see what all the white kids turn again? You see what they put on their parents?
I'm talking about here.
What's in their mouth? You ask them now.
Oh, my God. Ain't nobody fighting over diamonds.
Hold on a minute. Maze, this question is for you. Why did you have to see the movie Blood Diamonds in order to know that that was happening? Actually, when that movie came out, it was some years after the actual event happened. So why didn't you keep up with current events and go ahead and be telling people about it right when it was happening? Don't bring up them movies unless you were part of going ahead and trying to change the situation around real time. Maze, I want to know why didn't you go ahead and do something about it when you first heard about it years ago?
So what do you mean? Maze? I haven't stopped.
You quoted to him that movie, Blood Diamonds.
Yes,
a lot of it
some people,
wasn't even
some
factual.
People,
but hold on, man. Hold on. Here's the question. Why don't you know enough about that movie, okay, to go ahead and tell us when it was happening in real time? Okay, what's going on over there right now is more atrocities and worse than Blood Diamonds. Why don't you know about what's going on? Because this is all a part about healing the family, and if we don't know it's part of our family is hurting, we could go ahead and talk about what somebody else gave us, what's going on, you know, years later, when we could have stopped the atrocities right now. So why can't you go ahead and tell me what's going on right now?
What I'm trying to say is watching the movie Blood Diamond, and it was something that I saw in the movie. Some person who was from there was sitting right there watching the movie with me, and he was pointing out what's wrong with them over there. It's what's wrong with the ones over here. They're under mind control.
Maze, your response ain't got nothing to do with my question.
Oh,
Maze,
what?
Your response ain't got nothing to do with my question.
You asked me why
my
did I do something
is
about
this.
Blood Diamond.
Don't quote some stuff that's going on right there or over there right now or right going on right now that we need to go ahead and be mentioning and have some put some urgency on it. Blood Diamonds, that's still going on.
If you can't own no company and you can't own no business, how can you do something about what's going on over in Africa? You explain that one to me.
Are they talking about here?
That response got absolutely nothing to do with my question.
Yes, it does.
That's true.
So if you can't own nothing over here, what makes
Maze,
you think
baby,
you can do
baby.
Something? But Africa
oh,
is
baby,
doing great.
On.
It depends on what part you're in.
Baby, that ain't got nothing to do with my question. I'm
yes,
gonna say it again. You quoted try to make your point by going ahead and quoting this movie, and that happened some years ago. If there's things, hold on, listen, because I see you got some issues right now. Yeah,
I don't have
any issues.
You trying to make me have some issues. Come on, family member.
I know. One of my family
I'm
members
just like
is
my
this,
son.
You ain't can bleach.
I'm just like hey,
but
son.
Here it is again. Here it is again. If there's atrocities going on over there right now as we speak, why ain't you going ahead making a sense of urgency to go ahead and put those atrocities on front page news? I'll go ahead and quote some stuff that's going on right from that.
They're still doing the same thing they were doing then.
Okay,
so if you want to put it on front page news, they're still doing the same thing that they're doing.
Hold on, sit back, relax for a minute, okay?
Let me tell you what they're trying to get from Africa since you want me to go up to date.
Okay, what you got to say, Brother Dawa?
I have a movie for you to watch. It's called Bamboozle. Get it and watch it for five or six times in a row. Don't leave out the house. Just watch that movie over and over and over. You ain't going to watch it again. Over and over and over. You need like a white supremacy detox. You can start with Bamboo. Because this is ridiculous. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say this and be quiet. This is why a lot of you do not want to hear nothing coming from no older person. They don't want to hear it. Because when we talk to you, you talk around, and you don't never address the issue. That's the problem with these children that have been molested. We don't address the issue. We keep talking around the facts. Now, we done said facts a trillion times, and you just continue to butt head with facts. That right there, I have to say, is a foolish position to take. But that's what we are. It seems like we have become a nation of foolish people. We don't know how to control our children. They don't even want to be this is what they're supposed to be. They don't want to be man. They don't want to be woman. They don't want to be nothing. They want to be asexual. They don't even want to have sex among them. What the? They playing with each other's booty holes and we sitting around here arguing facts for the person's opinion. This is retarded. Right. This is retarded. It doesn't make sense. I can't even do it. Look, I'm going to say this.
Right.
And I'm going to let it go.
That's why I brought up the whole point of saying you can't have, see, brother, when you try to have a healing you can't have a healing. And again, I'm going to say, you can't put Malcolm, Mark, Khalid, Huey, you know, Kwame, Ture, you can't put them in the room with Oprah and Bill Cosby and Barack Obama.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen because one half is dealing with freedom and liberation. One half is dealing with sovereignty. One half is not looking at American currency. They looking from the perspective of like Muammar Gaddafi, of how we go change this shit around all the way. The other half is looking at, hey, as long as you get a bigger piece of the pie, you all right. That's the half. That's the half May is coming from. That's the half I see May from. I couldn't build a house with May. Because if I told May, May, you have to lay them pipes over here, May, so that it don't interfere with Sister Renee when she come in and put the electrical wiring in. May go say, but I think this design would be a lot better if we put the pipes this way, and I'm going to have to change.
I'm going to put them in.
Right, I'm going to put it over here, and then I'm going to let Renee figure out how she could go above my pipes. No. It's not going to happen, man, and I hate to say it that way, but we can't do conversations like this, man, because we're at an age today, we at this time today where we have to do
it's
what the hell
crucial.
We have to do. And it's going to get to the point, man, I'm sorry to say, a lot of elders ain't trying to hear it. Dawah is right. A lot of elders ain't trying to hear it, man, because they stuck in some place that they stuck in, and that's where we lose when we get that gap between the youth and the elder is because the youth see the thing. Look at the Black Panther Party, man, back in the day. Black Panther Party was 15, 16, 17, 18, 19,
20, 21
years old.
Oh, yeah.
They critiqued. They analyzed. They had to do things to a certain point with authoritarianism. They took the doctrines of revolutionary nationalism. They took the doctrines of intercommunalism, internationalism. They had to go through all of these stages to digest all of this. And then at the same time, you got the elders talking about the hell that we need to deal with civil rights, when Malcolm X over here saying, fuck that, we need to deal with human rights.
That's right. That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Look
that's
at Fred, somebody
right
like
now.
A Fred Hampton, how young he was, and so prolific at that age.
But
the elders then didn't want to do that. Yeah.
Right. And see, when you have people on this line right now, and I'm just going to cut it straight to the point, man. I'm going to say what the hell needs to be said. When you got people on the line, Brother Dawah is talking about human rights. Sister Renee is talking about human rights. I'm talking about human rights. Brother Rob is talking about human rights. Sister May is saying, hold on, I ain't done with civil rights. You see what I'm saying? And because y'all disagree with me that I'm not done with civil rights, and y'all having a disagreement, the disagreement we have with her, to her, is not factual. We've moved on. We moved on from the civil rights era. We are into we talking sovereignty. We talking building a nation. We talking having freedom and liberation. We talking about building our own schools. We talking about having our own. We ain't talking about the expansion of capitalism and keeping capitalism in this frequency to keep going. We ain't talking about that no goddamn more. We talking about getting rid of that phase. We talking about the shit that's destroying us. We need to try to get rid of.
Not building jobs, building our own businesses.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see. Maybe Mays can.
and I'm gonna say this last thing, man, and then I'm like Dawah. I'm gonna be through with it. I think for now on, when we have conversations like this, we need to only invite people who we know are on that page of structural development, revolutionary thought process, people who are willing to sit back and say, let's talk about nation building, let's talk about putting these departments together, let's talk about sovereignty, let's talk about not only are we going to talk about the American term, but we're going to talk about gold, we're going to talk about how can we build relationships with Africa, we're going to talk about all of that. These are the people we need to talk with and begin the process of healing. We don't need to talk with Oprahs and all them because they're going to end up in the category, unfortunately, like Kwame Ture said.
I guess when they get finished talking, maybe he'll take me off mute.
Kwame Ture said, until we deal with the
old person. You talking about dead people.
Some of our own people.
You want to say something?
Can I?
Go ahead, Mae. Say what you got to say.
Well, the problem is that some people don't listen. You're going to be mad at Oprah. All these people you're mad with, and no wonder the children don't listen to you. Listen to you. If the children had to listen to what you just said about Oprah and people like Oprah and certain people we got to talk to, what are you doing besides drawing a bridge? That's not how you get nothing together and make nothing work.
Hold on, Maze.
That's what he's talking about, nation building.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait, Maze.
What?
You said you don't need people to talk about you need people talking about other stuff than building a bridge. What do you think bridges do?
I'm saying you don't take no bridge and take a plank out of it and let and tell people to walk across it and don't fall in and you're going to leave part of
but
the
But that's
other,
not, that's not what I'm about, and that's not what these what other individuals who call in, that's not what they're about, and I don't understand why you seem to go ahead and be one of
and
the ones
who said
want
that
to
I,
take
who
the
said
plank
I had to
out
be like Oprah?
Hold on, man.
I'm not trying to be like Oprah.
Hold on. You want to take the plank out the bridge, plus you want to go ahead and say, look, we don't even need to own the bridge. We need to pay tolls as we go back and forth and go ahead and keep them going ahead. Keep them going ahead being safe, and they're going ahead visiting family and doing commerce, but we can't have our own bridge. And that's the part we're trying to get you to see. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. And if you don't, okay, fine, just step to the side and let me continue to do what I'm doing. But I don't go ahead and tell me that what we're doing is going ahead and not helping. You know, that's what I'm getting from you. I don't hear that from you.
Hello. Now can I explain?
Okay, explain.
Damn.
I'm from the bridge of the Black Wall Street, and you don't have enough people walking around to be like the Black Wall Street. So don't come telling me about no bridge. That's the bridge that you need to get to. And I'm not no Malcolm X and no all of these people, because they are dead. But some people are still alive from that bridge. So
okay,
if you're trying to find your bridge and not listening and talking, that's how you get lost. And so that's what I say with a family. I'm saying like if you're a family, you don't throw a member out. You take them and you root with them. So y'all talking about throwing people out and who you don't like. That's why it's not going to get nowhere.
Please.
Maze, how long are we supposed to work with you before you go ahead and get the message? How long? I mean, how long are we supposed to work with you before you get the message? None of that shit don't work. We need our own shit, period. Don't tell me about going ahead and working for somebody in China. I want to go ahead and work for my own company. I'm going to go ahead and keep working for them and go ahead and create their riches and wealth while I go ahead and I got to struggle. Help me send somebody else's kid to go to college to go ahead and get the knowledge and the technology to tell my dumbass kid that he can't do whatever the fuck he want to do because we done go ahead and helped you go to school, and now my kid got to go ahead and scrub floors. I don't get that mentality.
What are those things going that you're saying going to do to assist us as these Europeans are walking around in these neighborhoods putting red dots or blue dots on mailboxes so when they come through with martial law, they'll know which house to destroy and they'll know which people to take to the concentration camps? What's all that going to do for that? What is all that going to do for that? None of that stuff you just said going to do anything for that, and that's what's on the scene right now. Google that.
Yeah.
Go find that. That's happening right now. Check your mailbox to see if you got a red dot or a blue dot, or other people in the neighborhoods around you. Talk to them to see if they have seen any strange things around their mailboxes, any strange people around the mailbox. Have they seen the mailman acting strange around the mailbox? Do they see somebody coming and sitting around in front of the yard looking at the mailbox? Ask those questions, because that's your stuff you're talking ain't going to do nothing when it comes down to that.
Huh.
That's what's on the scene right now. This is real time. We don't have time for all the other BS. We don't have time for that. If you can't see revolution by any means necessary, using every measure that we have to help
we
you,
have.
You are not for the movement. You need to go sit down somewhere. That's just what it is. I don't care how old you are. Period. We don't have time for that. That's why I'm going to say this. This coming Saturday, on the 19th, at 10:30 a.m., Brother Fuqua, Brother Jeff, Brother Chef Rod, I'd like both of y'all to be there in attendance. I want y'all to be on the show live with me and Prince Najee, Muhammad from the NBLM, and a few other brothers coming in from the NBLM. We want to link up with y'all, brothers, in Chicago. We in Chicago, some of us in Cleveland, Midwest. We want to link up because we're going to put together a military force for ourselves. We don't have time to be sitting back here with no goddamn hold a hand with the white folks and let's get a job. Job means persecution in Hebrew. We're a bunch of Hebrew goddamn slaves around this mother kissing the crackers' ass. I don't got time for that. We're going to put together a force to put kick these crackers in the ass. But that's what they're trying to do. It's about some man stuff here. Sit down with that old civil rights BS. And matter of fact, I tell you what you need to do. Go back and listen to Dr. King. Some of the speeches he made that the cracker don't want us to listen to, like the one he said, I think I led my people into a burning house. Go back and listen to that about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. So you get it in your mind. We don't have time at this time to be sitting around here with no BS Oprah level.
Yep.
That don't bother and did a damn thing for black folks. Nothing.
Exactly.
Positive. I know for black folks that I know of, I know her studio in Chicago, but I ain't never seen her ass in the hood. I ain't never seen her where I live, over there by Cabrini Green in the row houses. I ain't never seen her in the old town. And a goddamn shop, her business is right down the street from there. I ain't never seen her over there, ever.
That's what I was saying. I mean, you got these people, you go ahead and keep telling. Never seen Oprah go ahead and come to an area and say, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and stop the gang banging and the poverty and all the shit. We're going to take this one street and we're going to make this a model for the rest. I ain't seen her go ahead and buy shops on that street.
Uh-uh.
I ain't seen her go ahead and do shit.
Africa built a school.
She went to Africa, set up a school, and a bunch of white hoes molested them little black girls up in there.
Yep.
Exactly.
Please.
Exactly. And that's why that school is a lesbian school. And that's something they
Need. She went to cracker-infested South Africa with a bunch of white Africans that are faggots and lesbians.
Exactly.
That's what the hell she went to set up a school. Please.
Exactly.
Hell no. And that shit shut down quick. She left them, she went on there and set up for trusting them white folks. And them white crackers that she trusted over there molested little black girls. Why, she got molested her damn self when she was little. Now, why would she go make a dumbass move like that?
Exactly.
She don't know nothing about white folks. She a cracker lover. That's what her problem
is. She ain't
nothing
an agent. And she's got so much money, it don't touch her. Can't nobody touch her. Can't nobody get to her. Can't nobody say nothing to her. She's got that much money, and they know that what she's doing is what they want her to do. And so she's got to that level, she really don't give a damn. She's got that show on OWN, and she's got the same BS shows on there. She ain't showing nothing for the upliftment of black people. She's not showing nothing to help us, to give us something in our head. She's got another show coming on that's another reality show with black women that's the same type of basketball-wise type of BS. And
yeah,
I'm just like, what the hell?
I ain't trying to build no black family any damn way because, you ask me, hun, Gail got it going on. So at the end of the goddamn day, how she going to try to give advice to a family structure and her ass ain't even trying to get married her goddamn self? She ain't trying to do nothing positive. She ain't doing nothing positive at all for no black folks. But, man, like I said, man, at the end of the day, we can't have conversations like that with people, with outsiders who don't think on the realm of we have to develop. We have to develop this nation. I'm there with you Saturday, Brother Dawa. We there, man.
Right on,
This has to happen.
You know what? I need to get you, and you need to send me a link to that.
Okay, I'm going to put it on my Facebook page, and I talked to Najee, and I haven't put it on my Facebook page, and I share it on for Quan's page, too. And
I wish I could be there.
Hey, sister, don't worry. We'll work that out. We'll talk to you someday.
Hold on. I want to say this before I get off. I forgot to say this. This is the most important part. On May 3rd and May 4th in Cleveland, Ohio, this is what we're going to be announcing Saturday. We're going to be having a summit down there, a Black Power Summit, and ain't going to be none of this silly talk like this. Everybody that's going to be there is going to be talking the way the majority of us are talking on this line tonight. We don't have time. We're getting together with cities, putting together organizations, getting together with young black class that's doing this farming and stuff and organic farming. We're getting ready to get with every organization that wants for freedom and liberation as a top priority.
All right.
If you ain't for that, damn the rest of it. So May 3rd and 4th, we will be in Cleveland, Ohio, the only city I know of in this state, in this country, that has the black flag flying over it. They have a little...
May 3rd, May 3rd and 4th.
I didn't know that.
Saturday and Sunday, May 3rd and 4th.
May 3rd and 4th in Cleveland, Ohio, we're going to have the Black Power Summit. We're going to be honoring Dr. Khalid Muhammad. That's the line that we fall in at the NBLM. We fall in the line of Dr. Khalid Muhammad. and Nat Turner and them kind of brothers, the ones who are going to get out here and slice this crack ahead, and if we got to die in the process, goddamn it, so what? So when our children look at us later on, maybe 100 years down the road, they say, goddamn, we got an example. We got an example. Let me tell you something. The most adored people, our ancestors, the most adored ancestors we have are the ones who actually want to make a physical revolution, the fighters. That's the ones who really get the real serious respect. The niggas that want to talk to a cracker don't get no respect. We don't want to hear that.
You know, Martin Luther King, they always try to throw him out there. He don't get real respect from black people.
No.
I'm sorry.
Not no real ones. No, he don't.
Not anymore. No.
No. Because, I mean, I would march my woman out in the street to get her head busted. I'm not going to do that. I ain't no goddamn way I'm finna put no woman in the street to get a head buzzer. And then when she do get a head buzzer, get a dog sick on her, I ain't gonna kick this crack in the ass.
Let me play you something real.
Is off.
Yeah, check this out. Y'all need to hear this. I played this at the beginning of the show. Listen.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps.
Now,
this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check.
Now, y'all hear that? Now, you tell me which, you know, they still making millions. You tell me which one of these black so-called leaders will say some shit like that today.
Yeah, why do we ever hear that? Why do we ever hear that during Black History
Month? Why do we never hear that?
Why?
I've never heard that.
Right. Exactly.
I've never heard that. I've heard I have a dream. You know what I'm saying? I might not make it to the mountaintop.
Haven't heard? There's a speech that he gave called "The Time to Break Silence." Many of us ain't never heard that one. That's the one where he get into, which really put the nail in the coffin for him. When he get into the opposition of Vietnam.
Exactly.
Okay.
And he puts that stress on, just like Brother Dawa said, he feared that he integrated his people into a burning house.
Wow.
He has a point.
That's why they had to take him out because his message was no longer aligning with.
Exactly.
But see, listen to what he say. Listen to what he say. You ain't never heard this from Dr. King. Dr. King said, "These are revolutionary times. All over the globe, men are revolting against old systems of exploitation and oppression, and out of the wombs of a frail world, new system of justice and equality are being born. The shirtless and barefoot people of the land are rising up as never before. People who sat in darkness have seen a great light. We in the West must support these revolutions."
And another thing, one of the reasons why you weren't going to be able to hold him in that vein of thought all that time, forever, his whole life, was because he's a Capricorn. Capricorns are people you can't really hold down like that. Dr. Khalid Muhammad was a Capricorn, same vein of thought. Just different people that taught them along the way. But you see the same type of energy. Dr. King had the voice just like Dr. Khalid. You ain't going to hold them Capricorn folk down like that too much. So he wasn't going to go. He said it, just said it the same way. Sarah Sutton said it, another Capricorn. That's just the way it is. Right, exactly. They own their shit. That's the way it goes with them Capricorn, down-to-earth people. Muhammad Ali was a Capricorn. You see, he revolted against the government at one particular time.
Right.
And what he fought, one of the strongest athletes we ever had on this planet when it comes down to dealing with a cracker. So I ain't going to goddamn Vietnam. Damn your money. See, that's a real person. We ain't talking about no damn cracker money. When you have enough integrity to walk away from a cracker and it's millions of dollars, I respect you for your whole life. So when you want to kiss his ass and look up behind him and talk about I got to rally follow him off of China, I ain't following no damn cracker to China. What the hell out of here with that? I don't like no damn sushi and octopus and shit. I don't want to eat that crap. I ain't into that. We got to deal with our people and who we are and what it's about us and us only. Negroes better get they self together first before you even try to talk about going to China and deal with some damn Chinese. Please.
Remember, Negroes is individuals. They individuals.
Let me quote this last sentence from Dr. King in this speech. Listen to what he said. And you ain't going to hear this because people want to concentrate on I have a dream because they want to keep you dreaming. They don't want you to manifest anything. They want you to keep you dreaming. Listen to what he said. He said, our only hope today, this is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said, our only hope today lies in our ability to recapture the revolutionary spirit and go out into a sometimes hostile world declaring eternal hostility to poverty, racism, and militarism. With this powerful commitment, we shall boldly challenge the status quo and unjust mores and thereby speed the day when every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill shall be made low and the crooked shall be made straight and the rough places plain. What they don't want to tell you is after the I Have a Dream speech, do you know Dr. King was sitting down with Malcolm? Dr. King was getting telegraphs and letterings by way of Fidel Castro and Che Guevara.
Wow.
They don't want to tell you that. They don't want to tell you that.
No, they don't.
Because Martin Luther King started to see what? He had to move from the civil rights into the human rights era.
Right.
Hello?
Hello? What? Hello? You choking if you need some water?
No. I want to tell you Martin Luther King also sit down with George Wallace, too. Since y'all was talking about King, there was a man before Martin Luther King, too. You're just low, and I see why the children don't listen to you. But I love y'all anyway, even though y'all tried to kick me out. Sometimes you close the door and can open right up and you don't even do it.
Hold on.
All that they said.
That's what I want you to get through your head. Know some history.
Hold on.
All of that they said, you get that the kids don't want to listen.
The kids don't know this stuff. Did you want to quote things and quote people?
Okay, so what does that mean? What does this mean and what you're saying?
But they still worked with him regardless of what he did. And all those people marched from Selma to Montgomery on their feet and everything and denied to get on the bus, didn't get no credit. From Rosa Parks, everybody loves her too.
About,
I'm giving you some history.
I'm talking about the civil rights movement that you don't know nothing about. I don't need that.
That's why you don't need to hear what you want to talk about Malcolm. You want to talk about when Malcolm and Martin got killed.
Why not?
Talk about the man before Martin.
Yeah,
what kind of man he was. He wasn't taking no crap off. He was about reality. He was about keeping you where you was. Because when during Martin Luther King, black people had land. They had everything. And after Martin Luther King came along, all they got was grocery stores, canned food, and everything else.
They had everything.
So you get the story? That's right. They had everything.
They had everything. Well, what about
that's
when
right.
white people decide to come in there and turn the damn thing on?
They didn't own the land.
How did they have everything?
They didn't own the land. They owned what they had. As a Martin Luther, they had hospitals. They had hospitals. Great hospitals.
White people come in there and burn it down.
Let me tell you. They had hospitals. The greatest hospital they had was in Tuskegee, Alabama. It was ran
but
by black people and owned
when
black
they come
people.
And burn it down.
The university there was built by black people and owned by black people. That was before Martin Luther King ever came along. And after the dream came, and you're still in a nightmare. So once you come out of the nightmare trying to throw people out of the family, you can learn. If you listen, you can learn. But if you don't want to hear it, that's how you throw people away.
And you didn't listen to none of that they said.
No. You thought you had put me out? I'm still here. But that's why I love y'all. I don't have time.
I was showing you, man.
Hold on. Hey, that was a good trick. That was a good trick, man. You got me good on that one.
Rob, she wasn't paying attention to what I was showing her. What I was showing her when I took these quotes from Dr. King himself, I was showing you the transition from Dr. King from civil rights to human rights. Now, what you're talking about is irrelevant to the transition upon which I was quoting from Dr. King himself. This is the Dr. King that I'm in tune with. I'm not in tune with the Dr. King prior to the Dr. King that I just got through quoting. The Dr. King that I just got through quoting is the humanitarian Dr. King, not the civil rights Dr. King. The Dr.
When she
King
said black people already had everything.
No.
At this point, you're lucky I'm not behind the switchboard, man.
I couldn't be behind the switchboard.
No, I'm done. I can't even do this. My time, my kingly time, is too precious.
Right.
Wait on motherfucking Burger King and McDonald's.
Rob,
I ain't got
man.
She got one in on me, man. She got one in on me. I wasn't expecting that.
I like Hamburglar. I'm talking to Hamburglar.
Hey, but still, just before we get up out of here, man. Because you know, I got the number is national 708-473-2315. Sister Renee, I wanna hook up with you. I wanna send you some emails.
Okay.
Man, we're gonna try to have to get her down here.
Wait. What Sister Renee does with her videos, man, is outstanding. Oh my goodness. Caught me by surprise. And I had heard on another show, I was like, man, you got to come on and listen to what I got going on here. Cause the information she put out was awesome. Tomorrow we're going to go ahead and do something just strictly on her. So y'all, hopefully y'all can call in and listen to what she does, because I like the information she put out. Lots of respect.
I want to, sister, take down, because like I said, I quote it online because it is national. My number's out there. But I want you to take it down. I want you to give me a call personally so I can have your number. Lock your number in and we can start building communications. And
okay, one sec. On me.
Start building. And then, Dawah, we on this weekend, man, because it's time to stop playing. We already had this conversation not too long ago about it's time to stop playing around.
It's time to stop playing. I fucking agree, goddammit. I'm sick of a whole lot of this shit out here, and I don't like all these goddamn distractions. It's time to go ahead and walk right over these distractions and do what you got to do.
I'm ready.
So that's the number is 708.
Okay.
473-2315, and that'll get you directly to myself, whoever's listening to the line, to the blog spot. If you, for true freedom and liberation, you ready to dedicate yourself, you ready to put some duty in to help uplift our people, from oppression, from exploitation, from tyranny, and really begin the process to build a nation, man. Call that number. Hook up with your brother Fakan Muhammad. Hook up with your brother Dawah Yisrael, brother Chef Rob. We about to get it cracking, starting here in the shot and making our way. Matter of fact, man, we're going to put a tour together. We're going to tour this whole goddamn country.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Get our damn people.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about something similar to that, man. We can make that happen because I had already seen how I just see how to go ahead and make it work. So, yeah, I got to get with you about that, Brother Fakan. Hey, I only got a little bit more time left. It's been a great show, and I'm glad everybody stopped by. And there quite a few more people online on in the calling queue, and she got me with a couple of these numbers. Because I opened up a lot of people's lines, so a lot of people didn't say too much.
You know what? But you know what, man? I think from now on, we need to pose a question to people before they get on these shows, and that is they need to define where they stand with freedom and liberation for our people, or do they just want a bigger piece of the pie?
You know, I got love for the sister here, you know, and I don't agree with a lot of things she said, and I've been hearing her for a long time, But my thing is, I still think we need healing. She had some valid points. I mean, she started off really great, and then she went, like a lot of people do, off a cliff with cement boots on. But she, you know, she also gave some things.
But see, there's places like that. We need to save those conversations somewhere else and not have it on the line, because when we get on the line together, our line together should strictly be dealing with a specific objective, and we don't need no interference when we're dealing with our specific objective as it relates to the freedom and liberation of our people.
Yeah.
If we want to conversate
with
people
too much
like May, right, when we want to conversate with people like May and the Oprah types and all of them type of cats, we do that on another segment, on another day, when we just bored as hell and just want to hear somebody say some shit.
There you go. I feel you. Well, sister, brothers. Whoa. And let's do this again tomorrow if you can make it.
Definitely. Sister, if you can.
My show. Good night, everybody. Have a good time.
Literally, like right now, between now and 2 minutes from now when we get off this phone. If you can, hit me up. And then so I can get your number, sister, lock it in. And Dawa, I'm going to hit you up so we could go over for this weekend and get it cracking. Plus, let me know, you want me to hit Jakari on that as well?
Yeah, that's cool, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yep, so
hit me up, sister, if you can. You're still online. Hit me up when we get off, and then we get your number, and then I'm on you. I'm hitting you up as well, that way.
All right.
All right, brothers. And sister, peace.
That's the wheel, the rude boy's life. Hey, hold on, Johnny Madani, that one. She said, people, put on the gun. Johnny Madani, that tell him, to my blood around. Stop the looting and the shooting. One day your life go down. Till one day, Johnny Madani, you say, golly shooting dog in the brilliant sun. Oh, Lord. I don't wanna play no dirty role. Don't wanna play no dirty role and lose my soul. Whoa, will. If I don't jail on, then I cemetery. If I don't cemetery, I penitentiary. If I don't gunshot, then I knife out. If I don't knife out, then I fireball. That's the way of rude boy's life. If I don't jail on, then I cemetery. If I'm a cemetery, a penitentiary. If I'm a gunshot, then a knife down. If I'm a knife down, then a fireball. That's the wheel, the rude boy's life. Ooh. That's the wheel, the rude boy's life. Gonna bust in there. It's like gunshot, one tear up the atmosphere. Gonna bust in there. It's like gunshot, one tear up the atmosphere. And if you see what I mean, don't come on the front page, just stay on the back line. If you come on the front page, that simply means you will get some gun blessed.